or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Best of Don and Mike, Old Am Show for today. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arndt, with you on this gorgeous, gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Beautiful in many ways because tonight starts the NFL season in fact. So no more preseason. Hooray! Fantasy starts and all that good stuff. And, I forgot why I was here. It's to bring you Best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike on vacation for a couple of weeks. So that means you're stuck with me. But it's not a bad thing, because if you get stuck in traffic in Washington, D.C. like you did this morning, you'll have lots of laughs while you're just sitting there waiting for two car thieves to wake up. Anyway, that only applies to people in D.C. I know everybody across the country has no idea what that's about, but let me tell you what, we've got a big, deep, and steaming plate full of best stuff for you today, so let's jump right into it. Now, I love these segments because sometimes I don't recall what they're all about. But it has to do with Michael Hughes and distrusting Michael Hughes. You know about that, Tony, don't you? Anyway, let's get into it. It's the Best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
So, let me start today's show with a big shout-out to... it was a fantastic experience I had at the Singular store.
Oh, that's right. You had a little problem with your phone, your fancy phone.
Yeah, I'm a Singular customer. Okay, I want to say that.
Congratulations.
You're goddamn right, Buzz. I'm proud to pay them for whatever the overage charges are every month.
Yeah.
Anyway, the phone got some water in it and just froze. Yeah. Froze up. It froze up real good.
Did you put it in the refrigerator?
It froze up. So here's what I wanted to do, was just go to the Singular place, mm-hmm. buy the same phone, mm-hmm. say to them, just put the SIM card from one phone into the other phone.
Right.
We don't have to change an account. You don't have to do anything. I thought, foolish me, I thought I would be in and out of the store in 5 minutes.
Maybe two.
Okay. I go in the store. First off, I might as well have walked into the Louisiana Superdome while they are doing the Hurricane Katrina stuff.
Right.
Because I'm not kidding. There are two families that have kids laying on the floor.
Yeah.
There's one part of this Singular store. It's over in Reston, Virginia.
Uh-huh. Catching some Z's.
There's one part of the Singular store where I guess if they're about to turn off your service, or if you've got a problem with the phone, or you've got a problem with the bill, you go with, because that's where...
Or you need daycare.
That's
right.
That's where... And I ask you not, two entire families... The head of the household, each of them standing up there talking to someone while the Singular people are on the telephones with other people, and the kids are going crazy and nuts, and then there's an old man who is standing in front of me with his big Swifty Lazar Harry Carey glasses, and he's worried about whatever the plan is that he's going to get.
Of course.
And I can't get...
And you should.
And there's one sales guy on the floor, and there's an incredibly fat chick there who's monopolizing his time. And I'm standing there, and I'm just looking around, and finally the guy behind the desk says, "Would you sign in, please?"
Yes.
You know, like I'm playing a game show.
Right.
I said, "Sign in for what?" He said, "So that we have a record of what time you arrived, and we want to help you." I said, "All I want to do is buy the phone, please."
If you don't sign in, we won't know that you've been in here an hour and a half.
Please,
right.
Please sign in. So I sign in, and then I wait, because I know the phone that I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the fat chick who's over there with the sales guy, the only sales guy on the floor, is that apparently to her, this is like buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. She cannot, it's like she is in a Fannie Mae store, and she can have any kind of candy she wants, and she can't decide if she wants the nougat or the caramel, because I swear to God...
Can I fit this phone underneath a breast?
This pig is just standing there and going like this, going, I like this one. I really like this one. How much is this one? The guy says, $99 with the $20 rebate. That's $79. But I like that one, too. Can I hold that one? And he says, well, they're wired to the wall. You can pull them out. She says, how do I know if my fingers will fit on the buttons? Because what I like doing when I'm talking on the phone is sometimes if I'm listening to a message, I've got to have it up to my ear.
Yes.
And if I have to press the star button, and, you know, worthless crap. And finally, after about 5 minutes of waiting, and I was just incredibly rude and a bore.
Hey, Tony, get bent.
I walked right up to the fat chick. I said, excuse me for a second, honey. And then I turned to...
You didn't say honey, did you?
Yes, I did. I
said honey.
I swear on Frida's life I did. And I said to Ahmed, and I did not call him Ahmed, but, you know, I wouldn't let him get on an airplane. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I said to him, I said, excuse me, how would you like to make the easiest money you ever made? And he said, sure. I said, I'm going to be the best customer you've ever had. I want to buy that phone right there. I want you to put the SIM card from this phone into that phone, and I'm going to be out of your hair. And I'm going to buy a warranty and everything. And he said, well, if you want us to put the SIM card in, you would have to go to service. And he points over to where the to the Superdome area of the store, where there's the family playing Candyland on the floor, and they've got the snack bags and the juice boxes, and the dirty kids with the runny nose, and of course the one lady that's got like the buka on, you know,
the burka. You mean?
When I say buka, yeah, you know what I meant. She's got the wrap,
right?
And I said, oh, Jesus. And meanwhile, the fat chick is looking at me like, how can you possibly make a life-changing decision like a telephone so quickly? You're incredible bored. So then I said, how about if you just go back and get me the box that has the phone in it?
Yeah.
Just bring me the phone, I'll buy the warranty, and I'll figure out the SIM card by myself.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, I had to have Beth Ann do it for me.
But you got it done.
But still, I got it done. Right. And the whole time, they're looking at me like I'm the retarded one. Mm-hmm. When really, I'm the one that they should be loving. I'm the whale coming into the store. I mean,
the whale.
I'm the mark.
You're using Vegas terminology.
Right, yeah. But Mike, I'm the mark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm the schmuck that's going in saying...
Well, tell them the price of that phone, $13,000.
You know, I go in and I say, I want the exact same phone. I already have a crappy plan.
You didn't get the black one?
Mike, the black one would require... all I know is he started to say, I have the Razor phone. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd like it in black. And he said, well, that would be... And as soon as he said, well, that would be...
See,
I said, forget it. It's a telephone. Silver's fine.
Right.
Just give me the phone.
But it is sterling silver. That's what everyone needs to know.
Such a good sale. They closed right after you left.
Yeah, and then...
Everyone leave now.
And then...
This man has just bought the most expensive phone in the store.
Because I have... because I have not been a jerk enough already. And really, I was just... I had to be one of those people. I don't get it. I want to buy something.
Simple purchase.
I'm not window shopping. I'm not there selling my children on the black market. I'm not there looking for an MRE. All I want to do is buy a goddamn phone. Mm-hmm. So I make the whole big scene.
You can't have a lot of salespeople in those stores. It would cut down on their advertising.
And I take the sales guy away from the fat chick. And then as I am standing there earlier in the day, and Rob was on the phone when this happened, I happened to cut the dickens out of my hand.
Oh, no.
Really, maybe seriously enough that I might need a couple of stitches.
Where, across the palm? Where?
Right there. I mean, it's a pretty big,
where the thumb,
geez, hellacious hole in my finger. Wow. I was on the phone with Rob, and there was an old, you know, I'm going through the refrigerator, and there was an old hunk of cheese that I thought that I
razor
could...
Razor sharp hunk of cheese?
I thought I could... It was a big piece of Parmesan.
All right.
Oh. So I'm thinking maybe some night this week I'll have pasta, but some of the Parmesan, like half of it is out of the wrapper, so it's got that moldy look to it.
Yeah, right. Not looking too good.
So what I thought is, I'll just cut off the half that looks good.
Sure.
And I was on the phone with Rob at the same time, and because, again... Because I am just lazy and I'm an ass. It would have been easy if I would have just taken the goddamn piece of cheese out of the wrapper. But I figure what I will do, save time, I'm going to cut off half of it. I'll just cut it with the wrapper.
And it's usually, even with the wrapper, it's probably a two-handed procedure.
And as it turns out, the wrapper was very tough. And I was slicing and I had, you know, the thing, you got the phone up to your ear. And I'm going, Yeah, Rob.
Did you get the pain reaction?
Yeah, you know. Oh. It was. I knew it was serious.
Did you get the hand in the door pain reaction?
No, I got what I was even perhaps more intense. I got the under the breath F word. And then I said, what happened? He said, and before he even answered, he said, how about a Band-Aid or so? Which is the way you would talk if something was really troubled.
That looks like an open wound. Oh, that looks like you maybe need to put a stitch or two in there.
It absolutely is.
Did you not put any stitches in?
No, I did. I
you didn't have a needle and thread?
Much too busy going to the store. So anyway, my point is that when I was standing in line at the Singular store, this thing has just stopped bleeding recently, and it the gusher kind of opened.
Oh, no.
And what happened was I was standing at the counter waiting for my receipt, and I was doing this, like going...
Tapping. Oh. Impatient.
With my fingers and the palms of my hand, and then I realized that because it was like this white paper that they had by...
Was white.
What I was doing was leaving a nice little blood stamp on every... And
that'll improve your service.
Not too gross, that the chick that's checking me out says... And I don't mean she's checking me out. I mean she's physically got my credit card.
You know.
She says... At one point, like this, she said... Do you think you've cut your hand? And I don't know how she knows this. I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, I did this morning. How'd you know? And she said, well, look down. And I looked down.
Oh, no.
And it looked like someone had dipped a cat's feet in blood, and a cat had walked across the counter.
Crime scene.
At the cellular store.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that's my morning.
Don't pick at it.
Yeah, I'm not picking at it. What I need is a new, fresh Band-Aid. Because, see, the Band-Aid here keeps coming off.
You need super glue.
I'm not doing that.
Do we have any bandages in the facility?
I might.
Oh, my God, do we have... Look at the first aid kit that band's coming in with.
I just made it. I just got it. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
You just got it?
Yeah.
Why do you have a first aid kit?
For exactly occasions.
You just hurt yourself.
What do you mean you just made it? You just got it. Please explain.
I got it from the front desk.
What do you mean you got it from the front desk? You stole it from the front desk?
No, I heard you talking about your cut. And I
think Andrew carries one with him.
We keep one.
Based on, you know, some of my entrances in the last few weeks.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
Where is it?
Oh, you see it? Now, Bethany, there you go.
Don't you think you should put some,
ointment, some antibiotic, triple antibiotic.
What the hell is the name of that stuff?
Betadine.
What are you putting on?
Peroxide.
No.
Ow, it hurts.
No, you put it on kids' cuts.
Vaccine.
No.
She's putting that yellow stuff on that you get, like, when you go to the hospital.
And some of the Band-Aids have it on there.
Hey, listen.
It's iodine.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Aren't you a little obsessed?
It's ointment.
Hold on, guys.
Yes.
Andy?
Triple antibiotic ointment.
Hello?
Aren't you a little upset that they're using your state of mind for their hidden agenda?
Dr.
Spiewak. Rob and I just gave each other a real powerful high five.
What are you guys?
Because Rob got Neosporin, which I was trying to find. It was in my brain.
See, I'm not really even listening to what you guys were saying or what the caller was saying. I'm more focused on Beth Ann fixing my hand.
I just a little upside. I got to go to Hughes' office during the commercial break. So bear with me.
Oh, look, it's gauze. It's a roll of gauze.
Oh, no, come on. That's too much.
Rob is bandaging it like
they're wrapping the whole friggin' hand. It's like a cut that's an inch long.
Get the sling ready.
Rob Spiewak, Civil War nurse.
Rob is doing this like in a Three Stooges.
Meanwhile,
movie.
Michael Hughes is just hoping that this happens on August
28th.
Now, hold on. Here's all I have to say.
He emailed you?
Hold on. I have a comment about the cut in my hand.
Yes?
His friends say Elvis did anything to get more drugs, resorting even to self-mutilation.
Hi there.
He's got his foot on the examining stool.
Hand.
And there's a hole as big as a quarter.
In my hand, right.
He was digging in his foot.
Don.
And he looked at me and he says, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
Sure ought to.
With this. Stop digging.
That's good. Now, what are you doing?
My God, you won't be able to...
Jesus Christ.
Perfect.
Are you okay?
Let me see it. Can I see it?
Okay, look at this, though. Now it looks like, hi, I just got back from Iraq.
Hey, for the duration of the show, you want to keep your hand above your head.
How's that?
Yeah, I like that. There you go.
How's that?
Reminds me of the old country.
Is that a look that reminds you of anything? Yeah. You ever had the DirecTV guy...
Is there a Band-Aid underneath that?
No.
Or is it just the wrapping?
It's gauze.
Have you ever had it?
And then tape to hold it.
You ever had the DirecTV guy come out to your house and say, okay, what you want to do is you want to get the best southern exposure you can.
30 degrees. Yeah.
And then the satellite guy stands on your roof or in the front yard doing the Hitler salute.
Yes.
You know, going,
yep.
You want it to go out this way.
That'll get the neighbor's tongues a-wagging.
So when Mike said to elevate my hand, of course, well, and that's how I normally greet Rob anyway.
Wrong hand, though.
Sorry.
But the reason that's good is that was on a, you know, right on the joint, and a Band-Aid would continue to come off.
That's
it looks silly, but that gives you full range of motion.
Yes, you've got more flexibility now.
Can you move your fingers?
All right. Is that an important hand to you?
As far as what happens, here's the thing, Mike. With me, with number three now, my life of number three, which is now obviously just me.
Right.
Lefty has become an important part.
A player.
Yes. Lefty is all of a sudden sometimes needed.
A supporting role?
Lefty. Let me just say this. Lefty has a ball.
Okay.
When we play our game.
Then you should be okay with that.
I'll be fine.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll be fine. As a matter of fact.
If it was righty, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
May enjoy the gauze.
Mike, like the way that I said that they rub Roy Horn's skin against the Tigers.
Exactly. All right, okay, I'm going to throw up now.
Anyway, are you still there?
Yeah, did Bethany kiss it and make it better?
No, she only kisses Mike's boo-boos.
Hey, aren't you a little upset that they're using your state of mind for their hidden agenda?
Absolutely. That's why I brought it up.
Well, that's why I got to go see the general manager. I heard Beth Ann say she got an email from him.
Rob?
Yeah. What was that? Let's see what that was.
I'm leaving the building.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm leaving the building. Then consider me out of my mind, apparently.
The email said, charge Don $1.50 for medical supplies.
Hey, where's your sister at?
I don't know. I thought she was in there.
Okay.
She was just in here.
Oh, here she is.
You were supposed to be watching.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hey.
So, Hughes emailed you.
Yeah.
And what did he email?
Why can't I print it for you?
Well, why don't you just read it?
Okay. The date was a midpoint suggestion as I was looking at a calendar when we were speaking. They are free to take up on any date from now until Christmas.
How convenient.
Mike is now on his way.
Not today.
We're already started. We're here.
Not today. We've already started the show.
It's kind of like, is this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Oh,
come on. We're going to work the whole week. We're going to work every day from now until Thanksgiving. And then we're going to work from Thanksgiving right up until, I think, maybe like later than normal for us, like the 17th this year.
Yeah, or 19th, something like that.
Crazy. Okay?
All right.
So you believe in Beth Ann?
Yep.
Color me doubtful.
Color me not having to go to that office.
Oh, yeah. Where was he? Because wasn't he in the building tonight?
Yeah, but he's upstairs.
Oh, so you still can go upstairs, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, what is he? He's going to say the same thing to me.
Well, why don't you tell him you think it's crap? Don't you think it's crap?
Nope. I believe him. I believe me. He's a good man. He's a very good man.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Now, if I go up there, I'll come back with an extra week.
That's true.
And I'll make you take it. I'll just tackle you.
Goodbye, Beth Ann.
Bye.
This is a stupid place. Hello there.
That's just stupid.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Put some tussin on it.
Tussin.
Doesn't.
Right down in the bone.
Mo tussin.
Put some tussin on it.
Mo tussin.
Tussin.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Howdy.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
The word that Mike was fishing for is neosporin ointment.
Yeah, and Rob just had that. Yes.
The delay. You know?
I'm fishing for another word. Oh, yes, it's retard.
Hello.
That's it.
Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Is this Drunk Chad?
Chad.
Sad, Drunk Chad.
Hey, Drunk Chad, I got to tell you something. I watched Monday Night Football, as always, last night. Oh, and before we get to the fact that I, of course, did not see you in your sign on TV.
There's a reason why.
The halftime last night was maybe the worst / best halftime show I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Okay, so they come on. First mistake, Monday Night Football. There's no Madden at halftime.
Oh.
Madden, I guess, goes and, you know, has a nice, you know what he does.
Takes the newspaper. And...
Right. So it's Al Michaels, and they start off with that stupid, I like it. I love it.
I want some more of it.
You know, with the dumb lyrics that they've done. And it's equally annoying on ESPN now where they have the chorus song every week where it's, I love watching Cowboys win. And Twins.
You know. I love you too.
Screw that. So they come on with the highlights thing with Toby Keith singing, whoever it is. And Al Michaels says, Well, we're going to go to a commercial. We come back. We have two very exciting halftime guests. Ooh. We'll be right back. So I stick with it. We come back, and it's Arnold.
Oh, no!
And it's Al Michaels.
Yeah,
what do you think of the game? Well, I think it's good. San Diego is coming back with the touchdown. Let Breeze do the touchdown. So
Grits of the state of California.
And he's like, thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor. Okay, we'll be back with our other special guest in just a moment. And they come back. It's freaking Jim Belushi. It's Al Michaels up there with Jim Belushi. And he's oh, well, we're all very excited about
this. Now, Madden doesn't do any of these interviews.
No, Madden is off in the crap.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good
and
for him.
And it's Jim Belushi and Al Michaels, of course, being the sock puppet that he is for ABC, starts going, now another very exciting season of According to Jim starts tomorrow night on ABC.
So, According to Jim, what do you think the outcome of the game is going to be? According to Jim.
And then he says to Jim Belushi, why did you join us in Green Bay this year? Because you know, he's a big Bears fan, so he makes his angry Bears fan and pretends like he's going to go at it with Al Michaels. And as they're fading out, I swear to God, you hear Jim Belushi go, that was great. Thanks, Al.
God.
You tool.
Oh, ABC.
What a waste of a halftime.
Gotta love it.
I let it get better when they had Giff in his glass coffin. Remember when they were phasing out Giff? And they had him at the ESPN zone, and they really had him in a glass coffin.
Well, if they want to improve that show, just dig up Howard Cosell. Just put him there.
Chad, so I did not see your... You had bad
news.
You had a retarded sign that you were going to bring to the San Diego game last night.
And I have bad news about that. But first, did you get the Washington Redskin announcer saying goddamn on the Sunday game?
Oh, now hold on. Are you talking about a local announcer?
The stadium announcer?
Washington, I was watching it on the ticket, and at the 2-minute warning sign, at 1:58 to go, one announcer goes, God damn it.
It's probably Bill Moss.
Really loud.
Because I called
really
him Treadwell
loud.
Yesterday when it's really Bill Moss.
You know, I don't think that it probably wasn't an announcer. Remember, Chad, first.
It was not a fan or anything.
First, you're always drunk, and second, it could have been a player that was mic'd. You know, or a coach that was Mike.
Oh, you know what? Maybe so. But, yeah, I got kicked out.
I hate it when you're sober. I can't talk to you when you're sober.
I'm not sober now.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sad, drunk sad right now.
No, I can tell when you're really drunk.
No, I swear my life to God I'm drunk right now.
Why sad, Chad?
Why are you sad? Yeah, Chad.
I got kicked out before the game even started.
Why?
Why?
I had a can of spray paint.
You what?
I had a can of spray paint.
You had a can of spray paint.
And they kicked me out. And I took lots of pictures. I got pictures of Sam Ryan. I took pictures of her purse.
You have pictures of Sam Ryan, who's the chick on the sidelines. And do you say you have pictures of her purse?
Well, I was right there, so I took some. She had her purse open, so I took some pictures of her purse.
Were you planning on putting the sign together when you were in the ballpark?
Oh, right now I'm in a bathtub.
You didn't answer my question. I sent you for that. Did you take the sign, and why did you have spray paint?
Because they let me come in with it. I thought...
No, hold on. But
why did you have it?
Did you have the spray paint so you could spray your sign once you were inside the stadium?
I'm so sorry. I spray painted myself before the game.
We know that. Why did you take the spray paint to the
Chad,
stadium?
Chad, you're really starting...
Because they let me, and then...
No, that's not why you...
Chad, why did you try to bring a can of spray paint into Monday night?
I just had it, and they let me in with it.
Just had it.
And then they gave out Chargers rags, and so I started spray painting the Charger rags.
Inside the stadium.
Chargers rags.
I can't imagine why they threw you out.
Was it girl night at the stadium? Charger rags.
So,
get your Doug Flutie tampon. This for the first 10,000 menstruating ladies.
Was there any kind of breeze in the stadium in San Diego?
Just Drew.
Drew breeze.
Yes. I'm too sad to like do a knock-knock, but take care, guys. Sorry about that.
Are you really drunk, Chad?
I am. 1, 2, 3, not it.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Imagine sitting next to somebody who starts spray painting something, you're getting it in your mouth.
How about that chick from ABC? I got a picture of her purse.
That's creepy. You know, the next time he calls...
Did she have her jock strap in there?
The next time he calls, which should be in about 10 minutes, ask him if he has any friends.
Oh,
you think maybe he's a loner?
I think he is.
And I think it's sad, but I think he should be eliminated.
And speaking of sports on TV and California, let me offer my congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodger Angels of Anaheim, California. Well,
you're
Sacramento.
Happy about that, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, you're
very
happy that the Yankees they're out of it.
Yeah, go Angels. $208 million payroll.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. What not only stops the blood from regressing wound, but can clean up a PG oil spill in one fell swoop?
Did you get the last part of that? His phone did that.
I did not. Something about an oil spill.
I said, what not only can stop up blood from your gushing wound, but can clean up a deep oil spill in one
hand. There goes the phone again. Dropping out again.
That's unfortunate.
Dynamite, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, what else is on here, man? What else is on, huh?
Hey, Nookie, it's Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that
My boy.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
That's right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike taking a little bit of a break for a couple of weeks. Actually, it's just over a week left in their vacation. You're stuck with me, the legendary Joe Arndt, with you on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon here in the Washington, D.C. area. I hope it's good for you where you are listening to me. Let's get right back into it. Now, earlier in the first segment, Don was talking about the gash on his hand. Let's get back to that on the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Rob's right about the super glue and the finger, because my mom cut her finger and that's what they did for her.
Dude, I'm very aware of that. I know that they even sell that stuff at the store. Mm-hmm. That's like a miracle fix or something.
Dude, you're on surgery.
Didn't I read about John Daly, the fat golfer, cutting his hand?
And a blister that opened up.
Putting super glue. No thanks. Yeah. I mean, I'll just live with it.
You can use Staples. not the regular kind of paper kind, but the kind that like you would, you know, the kind that you staple cardboard boxes together with.
Yeah.
Those will keep the skin together.
Hello, Don and Mike. Isn't that what Al Roker used on his stomach?
That's exactly. He did it himself.
Al, you had the stomach stapling.
Did you put it on a tube? And
you like the staplers?
Staple your stomach.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes. Hi there.
Did you hear? Hi. Did you hear last night Al Michaels say about Hines Ward that he needed to go over to the sign for a quick blow?
You know, they say that all the time. That's one of the things they say all the time, and they don't even think about
how funny that is.
That's
just oxygen? What's he talking about?
Hines Ward had been like 8 plays in a row. He needed a quick blow, so he's going to go sideline.
Yeah, he was tired. He's over there huffing and puffing.
John Riggins was the king of oxygen. Remember John Riggins, the way he used to when they first brought that into the league?
Yep.
You'd see Riggo on Sunday just really sucking on it. Yeah. Well, here we go there, Engine Geronimo. I had a Saturday night. I think I need some more
blow. Need a blow.
A blow.
Okay, hold on. One more. Just because why not? Because nobody's answering these. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're talking to us right now. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
We're calling you about your open wound. I've heard that Tux works wonders for open wounds.
Tux works for anything.
That's great. Except the cut's not on my ass, it's on my hands.
What a wonderful product, though, the basis of Tux. Witch hazel.
That's right.
Why is it called witch hazel? We've never had that discussion. All I know is it feels good.
That's because Hazel was not a nice woman.
She was a witchy woman.
She was.
Hey, Mr. B. Hazel, can you come up here and wipe me? Yes, Mr. B.
You know what? I know. You're going to be king of the Hazels, because the only other one that I could even come up with is that lame band Sister Hazel.
Sister Hazel.
Does that even count?
No.
No.
No, too obscure.
Because there's really only one Hazel.
Hazel is, and Shirley Booth is the
Hazel. That's right. For those of you who don't know, Shirley Booth was an incredible piece of ass from the 50s who was on a show called Hazel, where she lived with a family and she had sex with both the mom and the dad, and neither one knew that Hazel was having sex with them.
Yeah, she was bi, and she was a big woman, and it was just amazing to see her jump from bed to bed.
The greatest episode is when Mr. B paid her to take Bobby's virginity. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
That was incredible. You couldn't even see him.
Mr. BJ.
Hello, Mr. B.
Mr. BJ. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, did you hear when Madden was talking about Antonio Gates and he was describing how he was a good basketball player and football player, how he said he attacked balls?
You know, what I love now is everybody is looking for it. Everybody's a, and it's really.
I didn't have my TiVo on, but if you guys TiVo'd it, it was 2 minutes and 2:50 in the second quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Must attack balls.
That's what I like about Antonio Gates. He really attacks the balls.
Yeah, he's doing it. Look, he just did it there again.
One more. What, really, one more? Because these are like the Lay's potato chips that Rob pours out with his son. You just can't eat one.
Right.
Now let's hear it for Robert Spiewak, huh?
Yay.
Not the big one, the little one.
That's right.
Little,
yeah, the Robert the third.
One. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hi.
Hey, I'm actually a friend of Chad.
Oh, Chad the drunk guy.
So he has a friend.
Chad the drunk guy.
All right, yeah. Well, that answers our question, that he does have a friend.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not. That's why I'm his friend.
Can I just totally stop the show like you have?
Too late.
To point out, Rob, as I look at this bandage that you and Beth Ann wonderfully put on
my hand. Are you bleeding through it already?
They've covered up every part of my hand except the part where the cut is. Do you see that?
That's because it's been wrapped around your hand. It should be wrapped around your thumb.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing there, Doc?
It's not my fault you cut it in the wrong place.
Okay. Wrap it around your thumb.
I have to go get the kit.
Yeah, get the kit. We get the... You know, really...
Go get my kit.
Have you given any thought at all to just taking the hand? They can do amazing things with prosthetics now.
Mechanical, yeah.
Mike, every time I think about it,
it's really good.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Yeah. He's got one he never uses.
Although, did you see the story about that guy that plays Australian rules football?
No.
And
I saw the one about the football coach that didn't have any hands.
So this Australian rules football player, they were playing a game, and they said something like, your finger's out of joint, and you're going to miss the rest of the season. And he said, screw it, I want to play. Cut my finger off. And I know that Ronnie Lott, when he played with the 49ers, once had the tip of his finger cut off during a game. But this guy, seriously, will never be able to give anybody the finger with his left hand again because...
They hacked it off.
They hacked it off. Oh. And he had just a big bunch of gauze on it. And he was like, okay, mate, it's like I got to keep playing ball, mate.
You'd think they could, like, ice it. And maybe reattach it, but no, that was, you know, he like threw it in a dumpster.
I mean, look at how worthless this thing is you guys just put on my hand.
It is worthless.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry I even tried.
Oh, look at that.
It was covering.
Let me see.
Look at that. You know
it
what
it, had, it was covering.
You know what it looks like right now?
Wow.
What the cut looks like?
I do.
It looks like I'm looking at Hustler Magazine.
Oh, that's gross.
Remember Mercedes?
Oh, dear.
That's right.
That is quite a gash.
It'd be a close shave.
Wow.
Doesn't that look like something you'd see in one of those magazines?
You saw that in one of those magazines. It'd,
yeah,
be, it'd be a medical magazine.
Baby.
Oh. If it looked like that, you'd see it on that website we all look at.
Enjoy tonight.
And right, and in parentheses, shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah. It's almost like it's like its own little mouth.
Yeah. No, I'm not, I don't think.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, God, that's nasty.
Hi, Mike. It's the big cut on my hand.
You're not going to get anybody to suck the poison out of that.
Oh, sure. Beth Ann will. You'll suck the poison out, won't you?
Oh, she's got an ointment. Everything's going to be okay.
Hey. Hey, let's take
you
a moment.
You get some Neosporin?
Let's take a moment for some ointment. Baby, squeeze it on.
She has some Infinity ointment. It's called just antibiotic ointment.
Yeah, but it's really not antibiotic.
There you go, B.A.
It's very biotic.
It's motor. It's grease. Axle grease.
Probiotic.
What was that?
I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it this time, but a big Band-Aid.
A big one.
For a big boy.
Oh, look at her rub the gas.
Mom, me. Yes.
Big boy.
Yes, Beth Ann.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's nasty.
She was.
You experiencing any pain with the wound?
No, but I got to tell you something. I'm
pleasure.
Slightly around.
Oh, sure. No!
Careful. You've got a lot of blood loss. You don't want to get lightheaded.
What if I have a nocturnal reaction,
Beth Ann? She's ignoring you.
Do we have a welder's helmet for Beth Ann? A welder's helmet.
A welder's helmet.
I don't want you to get hit in the face.
How about a full-face motorcycle helmet?
Okay, that's very nice. There you go. Now they're cutting some tape. Beautiful. Just a Band-Aid. Thank you.
Welcome to our MASH unit.
There you go.
Now,
beautiful.
Now can you move your hand?
Sure I can. Look at that. Yeah, oh, yes. Mommy. Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
They still wrap it around your hand. It's going to slide. You got to wrap it around his thumb.
I think I should.
You got to go this way. This is the way you got to go. If you go around there, it's going to pull down. You got to go this way, right around
here. Care. I don't freaking care. As long as it's not infected,
the people that care about you care.
That's right.
Well, okay, touch my hand again, Bethann.
Touch my hand.
You know, I feel nothing for you sexually.
I know, I feel nothing for you.
And yet?
Yet, you are a female touching my hand.
That's right. There's nothing like it.
Will you just do me one favor when you change the dressing? I don't think you'll feel bad. I don't think you'll mind. Will you just say one thing? I'll whisper it in your ear. Here's all you have to say. No, no, it's not dirty.
You don't
I
know
swear
yet.
To God.
Don't say no.
Here's all you have to
say. Why don't you write it down?
No, no, just say...
No,
come on, say
what
it.
Did you want her to say?
What's your name, nurse?
Shondell.
There you go.
What do you want me to do there?
What are you doing now?
Come here. How do you want me to do
I'm not going near that hand. Jesus. I'm not good at it. You go around the thumb instead of the hand. That's how you secure the
bandage.
That way it won't slide.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don,
yes.
Hey, God.
Hi there.
Hey, doesn't Bethann need a mirror when...
Oh, dear.
I don't... You know, I think it's fine.
So do we.
You didn't even hear that, did you?
No. What do they want?
Mike, you need to do this. I don't see the...
Right.
I don't think it's...
Forget it. Well, everybody just forget it. I feel like a
I'm
jerk.
Coming.
Ow!
Now look
what I've done. Not kidding! Really, Bethann?
Well...
Sorry.
All right. What do you want to do?
Ooh, sorry about that.
Well, that was quite all right.
You just heard my incredibly low tolerance for pain.
If you need some help, just give me a call.
Out in the
there
hall.
You go.
Get a new Band-Aid.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, now, can we just stop this? I dare you to smell the Band-Aid.
Yeah,
pretty good. What do you think of it, Mike?
A little yeasty.
No. It's my nurse.
That's how you know it's healing.
Nurse yeast.
Hey, listen, I can't reach the garbage. Is it okay if I put this in Rob's lunch bag?
Look at that. Look at that bag. Look at that bag of food Rob had
for
this show today.
Sack. What's for lunch today?
Rob, seriously. Yeah, why don't I reach in with my cut hand? Mike, go ahead. Let's see what Carrie made him today. What's he got?
He gets the greatest sandwiches.
She does cook good for
him. He needs a bigger sandwich.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Rob.
Great. It is. It's just a ham sandwich.
I hope you don't mind.
Did you put a Band-Aid in there?
No. He wanted to.
I didn't.
He wanted to. He wanted to put a Band-Aid in your sandwich.
No, I didn't know. There's
nothing.
Buzz, how much?
I'm well, thank
okay,
you.
Come here, Mike. Now I'm going to put this on. Let's
just come on.
Secure it.
Right.
Put the F-word Band-Aid on.
I
want the roll.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Bethann.
He wants the roll of tape.
Thank you. Yeah. They're really...
Mike's going to do the actual binding.
There you go, Mike.
Now that the bandage is in place.
Over the thumb... Who knows what the hell Mike is doing?
Look out, stomach, here it comes.
Yeah, Mike, that's good. Excuse me, hello, Atlas? You know, I would like a little circulation in my hand.
Yeah, not so tight.
And now your watch won't come off either.
I mean, look, I might have done it the right way.
You know what, you're a retarded...
Ow! That's the way...
All of you leave me alone. All of you leave me alone. Just leave me a Band-Aid. Okay. Just leave me a Band-Aid, and I'm sorry you even brought it up.
Would you like a sandwich?
Just give me a Band-Aid. One Band-Aid, and I'll do it myself.
Some cheese?
And one more thing. Seriously. You don't ever think of anything with me sexually at all?
No.
Even now that I'm available?
No.
Never?
Even more?
You're a liar. You're such a liar. Because I know. I know you're thinking about Mike O'Mara.
Think of sexually in this room.
I know. Mike O'Mara. Hello, baby. There you go. All right. You know, why do they make Band-Aids so
hey,
goddamn...
Yo!
Hey, we're all
up.
In here.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going in.
You're going in where?
To the room.
What are you doing over here, Mike?
I'm just going to show you how to do this without...
No. Christ.
You gotta go
now you've hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, I'm going to need a stitch now. Let me just put a Band-Aid on, and that's it.
What
that's,
I would do...
No. Well, no, thank you, Mike. Whoa. No, thank you, everybody. All you've really done is hurt me. That's
mm-hmm.
all you've done.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You've hurt me. You're the worst violator. You put your goddamn girl hand needle-like...
Fingernail
right in the gash.
Into the wound.
What are you doing?
He's taping you up around your thumb.
Are we done? Yes.
Why?
Scissors. Oh, my God. He's going to trim his nose hairs.
Give me them.
What a mess. Bethann, get out of here with this tape.
Okay.
Just get out of here, please. Jesus Christ.
Just trying to help.
That
God,
well.
Tell Hughes I'll take that day.
Mm.
Yay!
Yeah, good job. Have a long weekend.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. And the Band-Aid just came off. The Band-Aid, the Band-Aid just came off.
Because your hand's all greasy.
You got greasy with the ointment. And what you want to do is just wrap that. Just get a piece of tape and wrap it around yourself. And wrap it around your thumb and your hand.
And put salt.
One piece so it doesn't cut your... Did you see the way I did it? Even though it cut your circulation off, did you see the pattern that I did?
Why are you wearing a tag on your shirt that says Dr. Mike?
Because I'm the one that's qualified. I have medical people in my family, and I'm the only one in this room that does.
Uh-huh.
I have a cousin and an uncle that were both medical doctors...
Hello.
To say hi to Johnny up in Portland, Maine.
Don and Mike show as we start our first
John,
hour
Mike.
Commercial free today.
Johnny doesn't listen to me. Teddy listens to me. Johnny doesn't.
Hello.
Teddy, you should tell Johnny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi
yes.
there.
Hi. You may want to make sure you read your the ingredients on your lubricants real well and fix up the flow and sodium.
What? Are you chewing on like tube socks? What are you saying?
on your lubricant, the burns real bad.
Okay. Listen, don't worry about my number three. I'm fine on that. I will handle it. No pun intended.
Have somebody look at that, though. Take it from me. Hawkeye O'Mara.
Okay, Trapper.
You'll be all right. There you go. Radar, dress that bandage.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter here. Boy, it's been a long time since I've done that. I got to tweak that up a little.
Look who's, who's standing behind me.
Ooh, the boy.
How are you?
Understand we got a flesh wound.
Yeah, he cut his hand.
Now that I'm doing the voice properly. Took a few beats. Yeah, that's a deep cut. Rub it. And I'm not talking about the wound.
You wouldn't believe what it looks like.
Rub it. Grip it and rub it.
It looks like a female body part.
Ooh, ew, gross.
Icky.
Don't like those. Like male body parts. Show me. Show me the money maker.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
The Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
Quit your belly aching and enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Enjoy the Don and Mike Show. Ooh, sorry about that. I wasn't quite ready for that loud of a song. Now that I've got my ears back, welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Let's keep it going, shall we? Because this next segment features Beth Ann. Do you like lemon lime? Do you like Lyme disease? Beth Ann's got it on the best of Don and Mike.
How much stuff has happened today?
Oh.
God damn it. What's wrong with this phone?
God damn it.
You mean it's not working well today?
How come it's not working?
I'm sure it'll be good when the morning show starts.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be perfect.
Hello?
You had the coolest mom. She smells like Miracle Whip.
Here she is now, Jugs McBride.
Hello.
Hi, Jugs.
Hey. I just had to explain to Jonathan why you're calling me Jugs. And he said, oh, like how you call bald people curly? I go, right.
Ouch. You tell Jonathan
what?
That his job is to go out and sell advertising.
Well, that's why
and
I
not to get you all ramped up.
Oh, well, I haven't seen him all day.
Why don't you tell Mr. Pencil D, okay?
Tell Jonathan if he's got a problem, he can take it outside with any one of us.
Tell him that Q-tip that he's got between his legs. You know. I mean,
tell Jonathan that seriously.
Forget it.
He's going to have four guys walk back to his cubicle
and
open up a can of whoop-ass on him.
Don't even know where his cubicle is.
I can find it.
It doesn't matter. You tell him we call you Jugs. That's a term of affection. Ask Jonathan what it's like if we were to pull down his pants and someone could actually say, hey, look, here's a picture of Rob's little boy. Getting his diaper changed.
Right.
You tell Jonathan that we poke fun at you because we like you.
That's right.
We don't like him.
Okay.
And no, you didn't say Krebs' illegitimate son, Jonathan.
Okay, Jug?
Bye.
No, don't hang up.
Wait.
Oh.
Don't hang up. I'm calling you to ask now.
Oh.
We spoke at great length last week about the bite you received on your bottom.
Right.
On your ass.
All week long we were telling you to go to the doctor. You said you were going to go on Saturday.
This happened when we were on holiday, way back on Labor Day, when you were down to the Outer Banks. Did you go to a doctor on Saturday?
No.
Why?
Why, Jugs?
Well, because I went to a fall festival, but I did go to the doctor's yesterday.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, so you played a game there.
And what did Dr. Detroit say?
Well, he said that it was indeed a bite.
Duh.
Two bites from two ticks. and I'm being treated for Lyme disease.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you have Lyme disease.
Well, they're not sure.
That's better than that other...
Right, it's worse.
Oh, hold on.
It's much worse.
That's, Lyme disease.
Well, no,
Lyme disease,
a brown recluse can, like, listen, poison your skin.
Lyme disease just makes you sleepy. This other thing that she's got is, like, it can eat away at your skin.
Well.
They're both bad. But.
Yeah, they are.
What if you had gone earlier? What if you had caught it earlier?
Well, he's saying it had been exactly a month since the mark appeared. And the only thing, and based on that, He said it would have taken that long for the whatever's in my system to become, you know, to be in a blood test.
Do you have a picture of the bite?
No, I don't have a picture. Sorry, I don't have.
Didn't you tell us that you have a picture? I mean, not
well,
for
does
us.
Does he think you have Lyme disease?
Well, he says what we're told is we just assume that it is, and we just start treating because you should treat it as soon as possible because my symptoms, if I wait, would be worse. You know, meningitis and chronic arthritis. It depends on where it settles in your system.
And judge, it's in your butt. So you got Lyme disease in your butt.
No, that's where it started. We don't know where it is.
And how's the lawsuit going against the hotel?
Well, it really isn't the fault of the hotel.
You're not going to win any money that way.
Well, I didn't plan to win any money, but, I mean, knowing that it could have happened at any time,
Judge, you normally have to go deep into the bush. To get Lyme disease, to get like a...
Lyme disease normally comes from a deer tick.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean, right? From a deer tick.
Out in the woods.
What are they doing letting an animal into your hotel room?
Did you have any deer in anybody else's hotel room?
Not that I know of,
Were you in the woods?
No, I really wasn't.
Oh, come on. What were you doing in the woods?
I wasn't in the... Please, it makes... It's chronic fatigue.
A Wiccan ceremony, perhaps?
Perhaps, yes.
All right, so
you think the ticks just came in off of somebody else and lived in the
bed? No, it could have been anything. It could have been on my dog at one point, and it was on, you know, on an article of clothing. I mean, you don't know.
How are you feeling?
I feel awful.
Tired, a week,
physically, you feel really bad?
Mm-hmm.
Flu-like?
Huh?
You have flu-like symptoms?
Yeah, I just feel I've never felt this bad in my whole life.
Wow. Mm.
Did I tell you I have a bunch of things you have to run to the post office for me?
I did
today?
Part of it over the weekend.
Is it your stomach? Is it nauseous?
I think the whatever he put me on is upsetting my stomach.
Mm. And are you lightheaded?
No, not really.
It's fascinating.
But I just don't feel well.
Will you be able to run my errands for me, though?
Of course I will.
That's all I really care about.
It'll take me longer. I'll just have to leave earlier.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's all I really care about.
What time did you get into work today?
Quarter till eight.
Slacker.
I know.
You slacker.
I know.
Well, you mean you got into work late today just because you didn't feel well?
Yeah, I haven't been. I mean, I'm tired.
You haven't been sleeping?
Listen. You know, God, you must not be feeling good. Listen, it's one of two things. First, I know I'm not funny, but when I said, have you gone to the post office for me, that was like a joke because you are run down.
I'm ill, tired.
You know, even though you're ill, you should still do these little...
Is your daughter taking care of you a little bit?
Extra jobs.
Sort of. Yesterday I started the laundry, and I was sitting on the couch, and I had to put I heard the washer stop, and I had to put the clothes in the dryer, and I said, honey... Because she was up. I said, could you please put the clothes in the dryer for me? And I heard her go, and I said to her, honey, what kind of disease does mommy have to have?
You know. Big,
for you to help
good,
me
though.
Out just Wait, a little bit.
That's a good idea to do the guilt. You should do that.
Welcome to this edition of TikTok.
TikTok with Judge McBride, brought to you by RID.
Maybe you've got lemon lime. Maybe you've got key lime.
Key lime disease.
I'd prefer key lime if I had to get a choice. So.
And listen, as for what is Jonathan's last name?
Westmoreland.
Right. You tell James Carvel Jr. to back the frig off.
Well, and I'll leave you alone while you're dealing with that lime and the coconut disease.
Okay, well.
All right, well, really, what do we do for you?
I don't know. I have to go to a...
Why don't you have Jonathan take care of you during this time?
No, I'll just take care of me. I'll be okay.
Who's out in the hallway, Rob?
Is he out in the hallway?
No, it's not
Jonathan. Is it
him? It's not. All right.
Is it Baby D?
Not Baby D.
You know, D-I-C. You know what I mean.
Ah.
Baby P.
Baby P.
E-N-I-S.
So when did Jonathan, like...
Going by his cubicle.
Hey, what do they mean by that?
What do they mean? And I haven't seen him all day.
Excuse me. What do they mean by that? What do they mean by the joke? What's that?
Gosh, I don't know, Jonathan. How'd you manage to... They just cut your cord, right? Right? Looking at you, looking at that wiener. That's they're like looking at a preemie's wiener.
You have to be mean to him.
Are they picking on you again? Hi, I'm the nice effeminate man that all the ladies like to get along with.
Beth Ann, we are just defending your honor, saying that Jugs is a term of endearment.
When he asked you that, did he take off his tweed cap and remove his pipe?
He had already taken his hat off, and he didn't have his pipe with him. But he bought a new one.
Oh, that's good for him.
Yeah.
All right, they're picking on you because they're such ogres, but I'm in touch with my female side, so I can be your buddy.
And really, you know that when he comes back and he says, when they call you Jugs, is that like calling a bald guy Curly? You know that seriously, all he's ever wanted is to get into those corduroys of yours.
That's what he wants.
I mean, really.
And he thinks by making us look bad,
yes,
that's the way to do it.
Correct.
And that makes us mad.
Mad as
very mad.
Hell. Mad as
you're not going to take it anymore.
You double toothpicks.
No, but it's not that we're not going to take it anymore, but we might like play some college style pranks on Jonathan.
Like what?
Well, you know, college style. College style.
Remember the old college prank?
I suppose the family style.
Right.
I got a family style restaurant.
A family style prank.
Look around cafe.
A family style prank would be nothing like a college style prank.
No. You remember the old college prank, shoe full of ticks?
That's a wonderful one.
I have the antibiotic.
How about the one, where did I wake up?
Uh-huh. Who wrote this on me?
That's a great one, right? Who wrote this on me?
How about, why can't I father children?
Well, that's... Do you think Jonathan's listening to this right now?
Yes.
Yeah, where is he?
Is he in the building?
Where is
he? Yeah,
that?
He's at his cubicle.
Go get him, Rob. Okay. Will you bring him in here?
Okay.
Bring him. We need to, not you, Beth Ann. Not you.
No, you stay out of this.
Do you want me to hang up?
No, we just want to know.
Well, you really are feeling bad, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't feel well. I really don't.
Would you like me to call over and see if Jimmy Alexander can fill in?
Who?
Exactly. No. Are you really okay to work?
Yeah.
You want to cut out a little early?
No.
No, serious. No kidding. If you're sick, you shouldn't be here.
No, I'll be sick for the rest of my life. You don't understand.
Don said that to me one time. He said, hey, if you're sick, you shouldn't be here. And I ran to the car.
Into the car. I can get there quick enough. No. Plus, I don't have a car, so I might as well just stay.
I'm still going to lobby for those Michael Hughes days off.
The extra week?
There he is.
All right, here comes your man.
Okay,
now.
I'm going to hang up. Don't be mean.
He took his glasses. How you doing? How can we be mean to you?
I got content writing some poetry at the desk.
So how dare you go back there to Beth Ann?
Are you upsetting our Beth Ann back there?
You know, she was just walking by the desk, and I was just curious as to... I knew I wasn't able to...
Look. You knew what we were doing.
You know exactly.
You knew what we were doing.
Why the wisecrack?
You and we're... They were both pointing at you now. You knew what we were doing.
You freaking Michael Keaton, the Republican. Not Michael Keaton, Michael J. Fox. Who did he play on Family Ties?
Alex Keaton.
Alex Keaton. That's you.
He knows exactly what we're doing. Right. And we're on to you, Jonathan.
You are.
We are totally on to you.
There's no question about it.
Are you still with your girlfriend?
Great show today, guys. Yes, I am.
Shut up.
I am.
Are you you're still on?
Yes.
Well, I mean, how long has that relationship been going?
Like 7 years.
So is she getting antsy for a ring?
Yes.
Rob, just...
What did Rob wrote? Right.
This is the greatest observation...
The tenses today. Wrote right.
The greatest observation ever of Jonathan. Jonathan is like a nervous, retarded Conan O'Brien who refuses to make eye contact. Robbie, that's brilliant.
Thank you.
That was Rob's. You can thank Rob for that one.
I think the fact that his glasses are gone,
right,
it really brings it to the forefront.
The lack of the eye contact.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Look at him. He's like
nuts. He is. Like they're rolling back in his head.
So you went back there, and why'd you say that to Beth?
Yeah, why the wisecrack?
Why'd you say, if they call you Jugs, is that like calling a bald guy Curly?
No, that was after the way she explained it to me. I said, why are they calling you Jugs? Because I wasn't able to listen to the first part of the show.
Jesus, like you don't stare at her chest all the time? Like you don't know why we call her Jugs?
You knew it.
I didn't think that there was
you
a
knew it.
Day about...
Look at me, Jonathan. Look at me in the eye.
You knew it. Make a concerted effort to look...
You knew it.
Yeah.
Jonathan?
You're not looking him in the eye. Look him in the eye. Jonathan.
Spreading it around.
Hear me out, Jonathan.
Look Mike in the eye.
Jonathan, you knew it. You knew what Chugs meant. You know what we were doing. We were having fun. You knew it. You asked.
You know what?
She would explain it to you, and then you just hammered it home.
You know
hammered it home with
you
the whole Curly thing.
It's a joke to us. You know what it is to you? It's your sick fantasy. You bastard.
That certainly meant nothing by it. I can assure you.
Oh, did I? God.
I hate that alarm.
There it is.
I hope she, do, Rob. I hope she gets him on the show before something happens to her jugs or Lyme disease.
You know what she said to me afterwards?
She said, look me in the eye!
What did she say?
She said, okay, well, I've got to go do the show. Have a good day, Brainy. And I said, why are you calling me Brainy?
Oh,
because, you know, like right. You call bald guys curly.
Oh, good. Hey. All right. Well,
I didn't get it. She gets way over my head.
She
gives props for that. Good for Jugs.
It's like calling him sane. Saney.
Now this phone is...
Let's hope your girlfriend, Jonathan, is, you know, who's a very attractive, miraculously
an
attractive woman.
She's a beard. I mean, I ain't saying you're gay, but whatever it is that you're hiding,
the beard is called guys curly.
Way to go with him. What'd you call him? Smarty or?
Brainy.
Right, because he's
so stupid. You know, it's nice. Which made it even better.
And it's nice to know while you're practically on your deathbed and Jonathan's pestering you that you can come up with a snappy retort like that.
Zingers.
Coughed up a little comedy.
There you go. How about that?
Thanks.
Thank you, Jugs.
Okay, bye.
Here she is. Jugs McBride.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just in case you're wondering, our eyes are on you.
And my eyes are on you, gentlemen.
And what's the SPF you wear when you go out? Is it SPF 1000? Pale bastard.
It's a black trash bag.
Seriously, Casper looks at you and goes, what's happening, brother?
Thank you.
You are so friggin' white.
That's right. God.
Okay, thank you.
Are you going to bring your girlfriend to the Christmas party this year?
No.
You mean the model?
Why not?
The model from the escort service that you brought last year?
She's not going to come?
She had a good time last time, but
she never comes, Mike.
It wasn't much fun. She didn't want to stay up too late. I was raring to go after O'Meara's.
But wait a minute. She's not going to come to the Christmas party?
No, I'm not going to bring her to the Christmas party.
Why not?
Why not? Because he wants to score with Jugs.
She's going out of the country.
Again, how bloody convenient.
You
know what she is? She's the mule.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Honey, all you got to do is swallow these condoms.
That's fine. And then she brings them in, passes them, Jonathan gets them.
That's right.
And sends them out to the different dealers.
And admit it, you enjoy finding the packages.
I do.
That's half the fun for you.
I do.
Honey, would you like another brand muffin?
I would love the opportunity to talk with her before the Christmas party, see if she can change her plans.
Okay.
Talking to you and your girlfriend is a very pleasant experience because she's there just talking to you will not be near
Jonathan.
Thank you.
Nice round of applause.
Thanks for coming in today, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
Do you believe that?
Deliberately upsetting our producer.
They send that boy, and I do make, yeah, right, he's got the crazy eyes, don't he, Rob?
He looks like some...
He might be in that category. He could snap.
You know what?
Yeah.
He is like a retarded Neil Patrick Harris. He really is like a Doogie Howser.
Right.
Can you imagine him knocking on someone's door to sell a commercial for this show?
And nice that he could bring in the disappointment that his girlfriend will not be coming to the...
And isn't it a little...
Because his girlfriend, seriously... Miraculous, or his beard, his hired hand,
his
whatever
beard,
it is.
His beard,
it was one of the most pleasant women to look at the company Christmas party.
But it seems a little early, you know, for him to
know that
those
already.
Things, to lay that groundwork for that.
Doesn't
line,
that sound interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little queer.
Yeah.
Pardon the expression.
Of course. You know what? I bet he was telling everybody that she was coming.
You mean odd?
We pressed him.
Hello,
Judge McBride.
Yeah.
Little Mary Derry. Now with the great taste of lime.
Oh, my.
Just thinking of a slogan.
Wow.
What kind of disease do I have to have?
What do you eat?
You not to have a joke about it?
What are you drinking back there, Sprite or 7-Up?
All right, bye, Jugs.
Bye.
Here she is. Don't let her fool you. She's as healthy as a horse. She is as healthy as a horse. And,
Is she from England?
Beth Ann, no, why?
Oh, the limey.
Mm-hmm. She's the number one aide to Don. She's Don's limeade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sexy
music.
Yeah,
I'm glad you picked up on that.
I sure did. I'm not stupid.
We got the DVD player to give away, the portable DVD from the WB and Supernatural. And I know everybody loves when we do the Vibrator Olympics.
Oh, wow.
But today, in honor of Jonathan, just men calling.
Oh, God.
With their vibrators. To make the vibrators
talk. Are you serious?
I swear to God, I had it written down anyway. There's guys in their vibrators.
So gay.
Yeah.
Well, now, will guys be calling with their wives or girlfriends vibrators?
Well, I would hope that the majority of guys calling will be using their woman's vibrators.
Their own personal vibrators.
That's what they will say.
Yeah. Gay, but not too gay.
That's what they're going to say.
Okay.
But in reality, we know that those vibrators have been to very, very bad places.
Oh, my God. Well, they're probably all going to say that they're using their woman's vibrators.
So you know how this works. Yeah. Except with guys instead of chicks. Call 877-365-3636. Get your own personal vibrator, guys.
No faking us out with, like, using some kind of power tool.
Right. You put the business end up to the telephone, and you let us talk to the vibrators. The vibrator with the most personality wins the portable DVD player and the Supernatural DVD prize pack courtesy of the WB Plus. The $20 Tower Records gift card, tower.com. Tower Records, it's the only place to get your addiction to pop culture. Tower.com. Entertain yourself.
Call early and often, guys.
So just guys.
Just guys.
With their vibrators. Right now.
And women can't even be in the room?
No. Jonathan Westmoreland. He is hung. Hey, you know who's bigger? Ooh. It's that kid that was in Jerry Maguire. What's that kid's name?
Lipnicki?
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Lipnicki.
Right. We got a break. We'll be right back. Right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Austin, I'd like you to meet somebody. This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
How do you do? Oh,
my God, man. What have you done?
That's not your mother. It's a man, baby.
Yeah. Come on. Why won't this wig come off?
Yeah, hold on.
No, kill my mother!
Oh, I'm sorry, Basil. I thought she was a man.
Damn it, man, you're talking about my mother.
Well, you have to admit, she is rather mannish.
Austin.
Well, no offense, but if that is a woman, it does look like she was beaten with an ugly stick.
Number 4, Arbor.
The Don and Mike Show.
Whoops.
Welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. Hitting buttons left and right. Yeah, it's getting a little itchy because it's almost football time tonight. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but anyway, welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on the spine. Thursday afternoon, NFL season starts tonight. I don't know why I keep saying that over. Maybe I'm a little bit excited. Anyway, in this segment of Don and Mike, which is, by the way, brought to you by Ford Bold Moves, Don and Mike get a phoner from Rick Moranis. You may remember him from the homebrew days, or Canadian Ale days, or SCTV days. Anyway, Rick Moranis is the best of Don and Mike.
Rick Moranis used to be a DJ. I hope he appreciates the tightness that they play at Jerry Todd.
He worked at some great radio stations up north, and he'll appreciate that.
He worked at Chum FM in Toronto.
Big radio station.
Way back in the day, I was offered a job at 1050 Chum,
mm-hmm,
when it was the top 40 station, and they flew me up there, but they had the Canadian content laws. This was way back in the day.
Where you had to play a Canadian artist.
Like in 1977, and I think it was like one Gordon Lightfoot record an hour.
Oh, wow, because you had to.
Yeah, and like Anne Murray and junk like that. Mm-hmm. I never made the movie.
How many times can you play Snowbird?
How are you anyway?
Jerry Todd.
You know, this is probably the last thing you want to talk about.
Is Jerry Todd?
Jerry Todd.
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out on it, though. Let's welcome now to the show, Rick Moranis. Hey, Rick.
Yeah. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Oh, good. We're so relieved already. That's great.
You know, you've had such a great career, and we love your country album.
Is it over?
No.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to promote your country album, but we are absolutely fixated.
We would be, more than anybody in the country right now, we keep Jerry Todd alive on this show.
That's hilarious. Jerry Todd was an amalgam of two guys that I worked with when I was an operator
at a radio station in Toronto when I was working part-time through high school. It was a middle-of-the-road station. One guy was Jerry Herbert. The other guy was Todd Russell. And they were, you know, M.O.R. guys. And that's sort of exactly what they sounded like. But you know, say, gee, Jerry, I kind of screwed up. There's going to be a minute and a half to fill before the news. No problem at all.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, Jesus, SCTV was, you know, 25 years ago, however long ago it was. I still remember to this day, the Friedland and I were in Los Angeles. We just moved out there. SCTV was the big thing, the new thing that not everyone was watching. And there was a Jerry Todd bit that was combined like with a Michael McDonald bit, where it was when that Christopher Cross song was out, and Michael McDonald only sang one line in it, like, I got such a long way to go. Anyway, you don't remember what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly. You know, I was a huge Doobie Brothers fan and loved Mike. And I actually ran into him shortly after that piece ran, and he smiled at me and he said, it was brutal, man, brutal, but I loved it. But the thing was is that it just cut to, by that point, he had such a unique and ubiquitous voice that by the time he got to Ride Like the Wind and was singing background on it, I just had to do something.
Anyway, it was just, at the time I remember thinking, God, this is everything that I think is hilarious. You're combining how jive radio is ahead of time with, you know, a video, let me put some chroma key up, and you're goofing on the current artists.
When you look at a show, Rick, like Second City Television, when you watch SCTV, I just can't get away from that show without thinking it had to be just moments of real joy, real fun putting that together with so many talented people.
Well, yeah, especially since, you know, we were working in a little bit of a vacuum. We didn't know that anybody was watching. We were writing and shooting it up in Edmonton, Alberta. We were working almost 24/7. And we were just making each other laugh. It really took a long time before we started hearing that there was an audience out there. We were on at 12:30 at night. We were more surprised by the success than anybody. We were shocked. I remember the first night we actually sat down and watched a finished show in somebody's apartment together, and we all looked at each other and thought, hey, this isn't bad.
You know, we recently had Dick Cavett on the show. He was hawking some DVDs of his TV show, and he didn't even have a clue. When we came, rejoining, we played a tape of you from SCTV,
right,
where you were pretending to be Dick Cavett. And we came back on the air, and Dick Cavett, I don't think, knew that it was a tape of you goofing on him.
Right. But he knew that tape very well. He knew that bit. In fact, somebody sent me a tape of him on Conan a few years ago, and Conan played the bit. And, I mean, Dick loved it. And I got to know Dick a little bit one summer out on the east end of Long Island. And he loved the show, and he loved that bit. He found it very, very complimentary.
It's scary, though, isn't it, when you're doing somebody, when you're doing an impression, when you first meet the person, you're really never 100% sure how they're going to take it.
Yeah, it is a little odd. You know, you wonder whether they've seen it, whether we were a little too tough on them. It's a strange thing, because we weren't doing, you know, we weren't just doing impressions. We weren't doing kind of Rich Little, I can sound like
right.
this guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We were putting them in situations that were, you know, a little bit tough at times for them.
And the other thing that I just have, before we get to your album, I've always wanted to tell you, I thought, no BS, you're great Barney Rubble.
I know you love that movie.
When the Flintstones came out,
yes.
the first one, not the bad one, the one that you were in, what I loved about it was even the opening of the film, it was done exactly like the cartoon was.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't get much, you don't get a lot of, the handy for that, like, you know, hey, but I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you this time, kids. Your Barney Rubble was excellent.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the film, it was unfortunate the film didn't really hold up through the whole movie. It started off very strong, and then
it
kind of lost a little steam.
I loved it, and I hated it when they had the dumb Baldwin brother play Barney and the other one.
Do you have a favorite, Rick? Do you have a favorite film that you've been involved with? You've been involved with so many of them.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that the actual experience of doing a film, which can be, I mean, on a low-budget film, it might be shorter. It might only be 30 or 45 days. But on the kind of films that I got involved with, which were fairly big-budget and had a lot of effects, they were 12 weeks, 16 weeks. In some cases, even longer. And the experience of doing it compared to the final 90 minutes that it comes to is like it's apples and oranges. So, you know, sometimes you can have the greatest time in the world and the film comes out sort of okay or not at all. And sometimes you have a horrendous time and a good movie comes out of it. You know, you just never know. Mm-hmm. So when I'm asked that question, I don't go to the movie. I go to the experience of doing it. And, you know, I think there's two to come to mind. The actual physical production of Little Shop of Horrors was just a joy every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was, you know, having the opportunity to spend weeks with Mel Brooks is something everyone should have the opportunity to do in their lifetime. It was just amazing.
And why is it that Spaceballs is one of those, I think it just recently came out on DVD, that there was a whole big thing about it and we all got our copies. Why do some movies take so goddamn long to come out? Like Spaceballs should have been out eons ago. Do you even have any idea about that?
I don't know. I guess it's probably a business decision. It might be a legal decision. In the case of Spaceballs, maybe they were waiting for the next Star Wars to come out to time it out. I don't know.
And also that you're real good in that movie with Steve Martin, where he plays the mobster.
Oh yeah, we have a good time.
My Blue Heaven.
My Blue Heaven. Great.
That's one that's on HBO every once in a while, and you go, oh, you know, this ain't bad. This really ain't bad, and John Cusack's sister is in that as well.
John Cusack's in that, and the one thing is with the film career you've had and everything you've done on television, and then we come to the agoraphobic cowboy.
Yeah. Now,
what the hell's going on with that?
What's up with this?
Well, I've always done music in my career. When I first did stand up, I used a guitar in a lot of musical bits, and on SCTV I did a ton of musical stuff. You mentioned Gordon Lightfoot. I did that. Gordon Lightfoot sings every song ever.
We may have an example of.
I've got your picture.
Oh yeah, right.
Hold on. This is too.
I've got your picture. I'd like a million of you all around myself. I want the doctor to take a picture so I can look at you from inside as well. You
get
me turning up and turning down. I'm turning in and turning around. Turning Japanese. I really think so.
And you know there are bands, I'm sure you know this now, Rick, there are bands that make their living now, and I don't know when you did that in 1982 or whenever that song is out. There are bands now, well, hell, we had, what's his name? Who's that crooner that we had on the, a real...
Paul Anka
right. on the show. And he's doing versions of songs like that now, and they get away with it.
Yeah, they get away with it, but that was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
So that didn't sound bad for that many years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. True.
Japanese.
You can dance to it.
On your country album.
So anyway, what happened was about 2 or 3 years ago, my daughter, who's almost is about to turn 19, started listening to a lot of jam bands, Fish and Widespread Panic and String Cheese Incident, a lot of bluegrass. All this kind of stuff was coming out of her room. And I love that stuff. I grew up listening to that stuff. And it got into my head. And I started writing some songs, and I started singing the songs over the phone to a couple of friends, and they said, you got to do something with these. And then I had more and more of them, and then I got talked into doing it. And this musician in Brooklyn, Tony Shear, brilliant guy with a little studio in his house, told me he wanted to record them, and we did. And I had a blast. And now I have this album. And that is exactly how it happened. There's no big record company. Nobody asked me to do it. Nobody paid for it. I mean, it's just one of those things that happened, and I'm really happy that I did it. And it's starting to get great feedback, and truckers are getting into it. And I'm thrilled that I did it. I hope I get to do more of it, because it was a blast.
Now, the title of it again now, how did you come up with the title? Because the condition is one where you have...
you don't want to leave the house.
I mean, you might choke on food, you might throw up, you're afraid to be around other people.
Right.
I think there's variations of it. You know, it's also... It's an anxiety that sets in when you're in crowded places or in uncomfortable places, and the security of the home is much more along the lines of how you want to spend your time. And it kind of grew out of the song I Ain't Going Nowhere that was riffing on that old Hank Snow song that Johnny Cash covered.
Let's play a second of that, Rick. Everybody knows the song probably from the commercial, the Johnny Cash commercial for a hotel, you know, where he goes, If you I've been everywhere,
sure,
man.
Right? Right.
Been, anyway, here is Rick Moran.
Listen to the lyrics.
Jerry Todd.
I never go nowhere, man. I never go nowhere. Traffic's bad out there, man. I'm saving wear and tear. I like conditioned air, man. I never go nowhere. I go upstairs, downstairs, backyard, lawn chairs, living room, bathroom, bedroom, furnace room, hot tub, cedar deck, pull the fire, wash, dryer, pantry, patio, barter, aroma, video, cold cellar, rec room, ping pong, mahjong, beer, count, wear, then sweet dial order, and I ain't going nowhere, man, I ain't going nowhere. It's dangerous out there, man, might have been a big bomb scare. Hard to get off of this easy chair, I ain't going nowhere.
Jerry,
that is, yeah. Rick, really, that is fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic.
Hey,
I mean, I'm going to ask you a songwriter question. How long does it take you to put something like that together, write a song like that?
I think, you know, you in that case, I got the idea and I just sort of whipped it out, but then went back and rewrote it because I think when I had the idea of the last verses, it gets into all the pharmaceutical products that the character's taking. And
a little research necessary on that one.
A little simple internet search.
Your website, rickmoranis.com, now that's where you get the albums. So is this like a deal? You're not like burning these in your basement and selling them yourself, right?
I mean, close, man. It really is close.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, today or yesterday we got a call from a distributor who was interested, started hearing it and stuff. I mean, if somebody wants to pick it up, I'll talk to them about it, but the purpose of this wasn't to do that. The purpose of this was just to have some laughs. And, you know, now that we've done it, I guess I want to get it out there. And now that I've started to get it out there and I'm getting feedback on it, now I'm just, like, going to jump on and have a good time with it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, do you find that when you get into, it starts out maybe as a little a lark and then you get a little more serious. And when you get into actually recording it, even if you're having fun, you get more serious about it, right?
Well, you know, once you're actually taking other people's time and,
right.
and you see other people enjoying and investing their own efforts and energy in it, then you feel a little bit of more of a responsibility, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't done anything quite like this since way before all of those movies. I mean, this was much closer to SCTV in that
yes.
it's kind of like, you know, being alone in Edmonton wondering, you know, I feel like doing this. Maybe that'll work.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
And to go back to the past, as Jeff Rotal loves saying it one more time, how weird was it when, because it seems to me that I know that they weren't exactly at the same time, but you had the Blues Brothers, and then you had Bob and Doug McKenzie, and stations still play your 12 Days of Christmas, and you still hear Take Off. I know the Blues Brothers did not plan on being successful. Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas,
did,
right.
Did you guys ever think, really when you're doing that people were going to like Bob and Doug so much?
I don't think when anybody ever does anything that you ever think that it's going to be necessarily successful.
Well, I disagree. Every time we do something on this show, I think it's going to be great. But no, you had no idea that... Was that another thing that you guys just did, like, to make yourselves laugh?
Well, you guys were talking about Canadian content regulations. That's exactly how that came about, is that the half-hour show in the third season of Second City, when I joined it, SCTV, that was running on the CBC... was 26 minutes long, and the show that they shipped down to the States was 24 minutes long, because the CBC just ran less commercials because it was a public network. And they came to us and they said, well, with the extra 2 minutes, we want you to do something Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I just thought, that's so ridiculous. Everything we do is Canadian because we're here in Canada.
Right,
we're Canadian.
Right.
You know, everything. What do you want us to do? You want us to put on toques and parkas and fry back bacon and drink beer and talk about deuce? And they went, okay, that'll be fun.
Bingo.
And, yep. And that's how it started. Literally, that's how it started.
So that's how, I mean, really, Bob and Doug McKenzie, the concept came out of that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Do you have time for one or two phone calls from people?
Oh, sure.
Okay, let's go to... Pittsburgh. Here is Gail in Pittsburgh. Hi, Gail. Don and Mike show. You're on with Rick.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Rick, I have a comment and question. My husband and I, our favorite movie is Pennies from Heaven.
I wasn't in that. That's Steve Martin movie.
Right.
Chris Moranis is in it.
No. Gail, no. I just told you he was in the other one with Steve Martin.
My Blue Heaven? Pennies from Heaven?
My Blue Heaven. I'm sorry. My Blue Heaven.
My
what
Blue
am
Heaven.
I talking about?
All right, that's okay. You got a little nervous.
I'm sorry. I'm just nervous. Anyhow, I just bought my kids their first copy of Ghostbusters, and they have worn out the DVD already.
How old are they?
7 and 6.
Oh, that's great. Good.
I hope it's very nice of you to take that call, Rick.
I just hung up on it. She embarrassed us. I'm sorry about
constantly
that, Rick.
Constantly embarrassing us in front of our special guests.
Try somebody else. Here's Eric in Nevada. Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello, Eric. You're on
Thank
with
you for having me on.
You're on with Rick.
I appreciate it. Mr. Moranis.
Yes, sir.
I'm a huge Bob and Doug fan. And I'm hoping that the rumor's true that you are considering doing another get-together with Dave Thomas.
Well, I don't know that we're going to shoot a live-action film. There was a script around that we almost shot a few years ago. We're talking maybe about doing an animated one. Sequels are funny. I know there are fans out there, and we really appreciate the fans. And the DVDs continue to rent and sell. But it's very tough to get somebody to pony up the millions and millions of dollars required to finance and market and distribute a movie. And, we're too old to bang our heads against the wall on that one.
I think
in some cases it's better to just let something that people like and remember be the thing that they like and remember.
As opposed to
dealing with the movie corporations and trying to figure out what's going to work. I would hate to do something that would potentially not work.
That's why you and I should have quit 10 years ago.
Yeah, but
the show was good.
Well, I got the alimony.
Here is Scott in Tampa. Scott, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Rick, you did TV, you did movies, music. What's next?
I never know. I think right now, I think dinner is next.
There you go.
Let's see if we get one more person who doesn't embarrass us.
Maybe we'll get a good question.
Ryan in California. Ryan.
Rick.
Rick, is that your beeping?
Yeah,
Rick?
Guys, one sec. I'm really sorry because they just installed this new thing here. I'm sorry.
All right, no problem. Go ahead. It's interesting. He's got some technology. Hold on, you.
My apologies, guys. I'm sorry.
Jerry time.
It sounded interesting. We got a laugh out of that, too.
Okay. Ryan, you're on with the...
Mr. Moranis, I loved your work in Strange Brew.
Thank you.
And you were terrific as Ed Grimley as well.
That's Marty Short.
Now they're trying to be goofy.
They're working. That's the way they are.
Hold on. Here you... Are they both on this?
Yeah, they both
okay,
are.
Here you go. This was from back... Let me blow the dust off. This is BM.
Okay.
Before Mike.
Right.
Way back when I was a top 40 DJ I think you guys cut this in 1981.
Beauty.
I'm doing the whole.
Yeah, okay, go. Okay, good day. I'm Bob McKenzie. It's my brother Doug.
How's it going, Don?
And you're listening to the Don Geronimo Show in stereo, which is why there's two of us here.
Yeah.
Okay, good day.
Good day.
What's great is that I was able to cut out the part where you said on Kiss FM, and then I was able to take that to radio station after radio station and play it as if I actually knew you.
Wow. God.
Yeah, right.
Sounded good.
Yeah, the world of radio.
Yeah. Okay, one more call for Rick Moranis. Let's go to Ryan in SAC. Ryan. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And Rick, my daughter, she loves Ghostbusters. She, every night we actually lay down and watch it together. That's what she goes to sleep by. She asks for it all the time. I must ask you, has there ever been any talks of having another run at the Ghostbusters movies?
Not that I've heard about. There's always talk about everything, but it wouldn't filter down to my level. So
you ever been on a show where
it'd just be rumor by the time it got to me?
You ever been on a show where the calls are so dumb? All right, don't answer.
It's okay. It's all right. He doesn't. You don't want to be controversial.
The name of Rick's album is The Agoraphobic Cowboy.
Now you understand why I don't leave the house.
And you can get that.
Don't think me unkind.
This is again Jerry Todd, not from his new album.
Words are hard.
This is the do 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 da da da.
Now is the only way to get the Agoraphobic Cowboy Rick
on my website. Yeah. Now you're making it sound like that though. That old stuff is on this album.
No. Here you go. Here's some more. Oh, this is the funny one with the rhyming stuff. This is 9 More Gallons. Rick Moranis from his new CD.
I work all day, pay the rent. Before the money's earned, well, it's all been allocated. I got nothing on my
You know, the last track on the album is called Bonus Track.
Oh, yes.
And it's actually a song called Bonus Track.
Okay, hold on. Let's roll just a bit of that, just a taste. Rick Moranis, Bonus Track. Cut number 13. Boy, you got the good DJ intros. At 6 until the hour. Traffic and weather to the Elder.
Well, I'm moving along, singing my song about coal, smoke, and valve oil and steam. Daybreak Express and the Rock Island Line. Tennessee Central, the old number 9. Full throttle boxcar, a steel driving man. Midnight and I'm doing what I can. I'm holding back tears. I'm one brave engineer, lonesome and lost and in love. Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe, Glendale, Poor Valley, Mystery Train, Cold Mountain, Sligo, a tie walking man. Midnight and I'm doing what I can. But these trains always take me away from you, and right away I want to get back.
You're really singing on this.
So I'm leaving here tonight. I'm the next one that comes. I'm riding on the bonus track.
Bonus track. There it is.
So I just did an homage to train songs,
yes,
in the hopes that I would collect royalties on other people's bonus tracks.
Okay,
thank God. I'm sitting here looking at this thing going, okay, this has been playing for over a minute. Where's the funny?
Where's bonus track?
There is a...
We got the payoff
track
there.
On the bonus track. Rick, we hope you sell a whole box load of these CDs. No, really, and it's been a great thrill to have you on, and your website, rickmoranis.com. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a pleasure. I can't believe some of the stuff you pulled out of the past to play.
Jerry Todd.
That, of your body of work, which is enormous, Jerry Todd, I mean, more than at least once a week we get a laugh out of that.
So how are you anyway? Hold on a second.
Thanks, Rick.
Great to talk to you. Hold on a second.
Very cool.
I was really dying during that song, during that last one.
I know.
God, Jesus Christ, where's the funny? And then finally... Riding on the bonus track.
We got to the payoff. You know, you don't realize until you start talking to a guy like that just how much stuff he's actually done.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot.
The Agoraphobic Cowboy. I like that album. I'm looking forward to listening to the whole thing.
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning. And we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec. But right now, a little business to take care of.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life. In the big city, downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark. A little help from Mike McDonald and the Doobies on that one. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Whoops, we got the wrong super up there. Let's try that. On the Jerry Todd Show, there we are. Good morning in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you and a little chat and hopefully lots of fun. I have some more video for you, but first... Let's pay some of those bills.
I watched the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
The head on the heads.
How are you anyway? Jerry Todd with you. Glad you're along for the ride. Maybe you're at home this morning, or at work, or just around about anywhere enjoying the fine
Around about anywhere.
Meantime, let's look after some business. We provide this as kind of a public service of the Jerry Todd Show. It's from the community chest, and it's a lost dog announcement. If you're in the vicinity of Ellesmere and Morningside, be on the lookout for a little lost doggy. If you're in the vicinity meantime, keep your eyes open for the little doggy, and we'll see what we can do. Meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, whoops, that's the second time we've done that this morning. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Let's see if we can get a different color on that this morning. For these are called supers, you see, because they're in front of the picture. Let's see what we can come up with here. That's kind of nice. I like that. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you.
How are you anyway?
Terrific stuff. Hey, are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Not a very enthusiastic reaction. I think I'll just sweeten that over here on the audio board. Let's try it now. Having a good time?
Yeah.
That's a lot better. You know, we overlook sometimes what good audio can do to embellish video. With that in mind, it's time for our satellite report.
And let's go live now over the international dateline all the way to tomorrow. And my good buddy, Tim Ishimuni.
That is awesome.
I did not know that he had worked at Chum FM in Toronto. No wonder he's so good at that, because he's got the fake DJ kind
of
built in.
And, of course, we call it adult contemporary. He called it middle of the road.
Yeah.
And two DJs, one named Jerry, one named Todd. It was an amalgam of the two.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Sometimes that shaggy looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shaggy? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, doesn't seem to be living until he bites you. And those black eyes roll over white, and then, oh, and you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in and they rip you to pieces.
The Don and Mike Show.
Be a love and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Be a love and listen to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Arnger, with you on this fine Thursday afternoon. We've been having some fun today, huh? But if you want more fun while Don and Mike are on vacation, go to donandmikewebsite.com. Catch up on all the things Don and Mike. There's, I don't know. I always get confused. There's promotional things for the show. There's recaps. You can download segments to your iPod, all that good stuff. So do that for me, Joe Arger, won't you? This has been a public service announcement. Anyway, I'm goofy. I'm goofy because NFL football season starts tonight. Let's get right back into the best of. This is truly the best of. If you've been waiting for something while you're driving around in your car, something that is truly a gem, occasionally Don has to check on his messages, and when he does, he reaches for his BlackBerry. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Like an old fart. Okay. Old fart. Fart. Fart, fart, fart.
But it's another one of those songs that's like, that's the chord progression.
Uh-huh.
And the vocal is kind of that Green Day, whining,
right,
angry, although Green Day is not as mad as some of them.
As opposed to,
so he puts the thing in and he says, "Dad, listen to this." And I'm listening, and I can't even make out what it's saying. And he says, "Hold on, listen." And like one of the lines is, "Ralph, is it down? Ralph, is it down? Ralph, is it?" I go, "What is it?" And he said, "Dad, it's a band that's taken nothing but Chief Wiggum lines from The Simpsons."
Oh, wow.
And they've written a song.
Oh, that's great.
And I got to get it. He's going to send me the MP3.
That's funny. Good.
Because once I understood the concept,
right,
then I listened and I got through the noise. I was able to filter out the noise.
Right. That's hysterical.
And like one of the lines of the song is, "How are you today, Abu? I don't feel like paying for this donut." I mean, that Chief Wiggum actually had said, and there's lots of stuff.
And if you start getting it, then you can laugh at it.
Right, and it's got a lot of the great stuff that Ralphie has said.
Right.
Like, "My fingers smell like cheese."
Or like that, yes. That's a Ralphie. Chief Wiggum.
Everybody knows who that is, who that band is. I like that's funny, I think. But Christ, you got to go through 8,000 levels. And again, that's just
fart.
It's maybe an old fart.
Well, it's not because you're an old fart. It'd probably be hard for anybody if they weren't hip to what was going on to decipher that.
Right. Not hard for Bart,
really.
No.
Did he know? Did he have intel on it before? Or did he just pick it up by?
No, I'm guessing he had intel on it.
Yeah, sure,
of course. But of course, but when he played it for me, it was like, "Dad, it's so obvious. The Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons.
He's going to do that.
Listen, Dad." Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I saw these black leather gloves out back at JFK. I was wondering if Buzz would like to try them on.
Okay, everybody is still stuck on Buzz and the OJ thing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm not going to fit.
Hello.
Hello, Mike? Don?
Yes, we're here. Hello there.
I'm going into prison tomorrow. I have to throw myself into state prison, and I was wondering if Buzz could come over and be my cellmate.
Now,
are you really going to state prison tomorrow?
I really am.
Where are you calling from?
Northern California.
Hey, that's one Sacramento locked up.
What big house will you be going into? Folsom?
No, I'm going to California Correctional Center in Susanville.
Susanville.
That's
tough. Yeah, baby.
Is it
named after Susan Day for the Partridge Family?
Minimum, medium, or maximum?
Medium.
So you might be a little bit of a bad guy, huh?
Chance you might.
They'll levitate me or something.
You might be someone's bitch. What'd you do? Can we ask?
White collar crime.
Ah, good for you.
Embezzlement.
Skimming off the top.
Oh, boy.
Not enough for 3 years in the slam, though.
Ooh, 3 years.
Wow. Well, it must have been a significant amount.
It was seven figures.
Now, 3 years would go by like that. How'd you get caught?
Six of which, and hopefully the judge is not listening, are stashed away somewhere.
Yeah, you're smart. Yeah.
I hope your time is like Paul Sorvino in Goodfellas.
Yeah,
I hope
so.
Is
there a chance that Buzz can come over and wash my back while I'm there?
Wow. Six figures, huh?
Guy's pretty flip for a guy going. I recommend you rent the Ed Norton movie, The 25th Hour.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Goodfellas scene is a scene where I want to be in that prison when I see that.
Paul Sorvino has got every Italian spice.
Right.
He's chopping garlic.
Taking a razor blade and he's cutting the garlic razor thin to put in the pan where they're going to make the meat that's going to go in the sauce for the pasta. And then Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta, he comes in with a big bag of stuff. Salami, and he's got Johnny Walker's scotch, and then he's got a great bottle of red wine, and Paul Sorvino, in the middle of prison, says, now we can eat. I love that. I love that scene.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
That the song you're talking about is called Ralph Wiggum, and it's by the Bloodhound Gang. It's on their new CD.
You know what? There you go. Right, because, geez, I should remember that, because they had some... What's that song they had a while ago? It was like a disco song. I liked it. It was about humping.
The Bad Touch.
The Bad Touch.
Bad Touch.
That's it. I remember that.
Right. Okay, got you. Thank you, my friend.
See you guys.
See you later. See, somebody knew that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never would.
So now we'll get a copy of it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don was wondering about who did that.
Right. Oh, it's the delay. It's the dreaded delay. We got it. It's the Bloodhound Gang, right?
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good. Very popular.
Goodbye.
Sure. Hello there. Donaldo E. Miguel.
Hello. This is Chris from Baltimore, the safest city in the world right now.
Well, you bet your ass, right? Because they had the thing with the tunnels yesterday that ended up being nothing, right?
As a matter of fact, I'm a half a block away from where they arrested some Egyptians.
Now, did they really arrest Egyptians in Baltimore? Because
right now, I'm looking right across the street at a Channel 5 news van.
I thought it was a hoax. I did. I thought it was a hoax. Wasn't the whole thing about... that they said it was going to, you know, this particular tunnel and this tower and this bridge, and it was a hoax.
It was cocoa powder.
Cocoa powder?
It was allegedly cocoa. You're right, cocoa.
Did they spot the Egyptians by their walk?
By the way, is
got a condo made of stone.
What's the latest conditions in Baltimore at this hour?
But Channel 5's here. I know how much you dumped on Channel 5 last week. You want me to shout out up to the news van?
Listen, we don't care about that. Just tell me something. How's Cal?
Is Cal okay?
Sorry, I'm a Ravens fan. I hate baseball.
Shout that you're Egyptian.
Hey!
Say it. Say, I'm Egyptian.
I'm Egyptian.
Or how about really? How about say
hey,
walk like an Egyptian.
Hold on. Is it WTTG Fox 5?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then scream, hey, Fox 5, I'm an Egyptian.
Hey, Fox 5, I'm an Egyptian.
I'm a Egyptian.
Louder.
Hey, Fox 5, I'm an Egyptian.
Do you look like an Egyptian?
I'm Russian.
Close enough.
All right, close enough.
Guilty. You should be under surveillance.
That'll work.
Say, hey, scream, hey, Fox 5, does Will Thomas use the men's room or the ladies' room?
Hey, Fox 5, does Will Thomas use the ladies' room or the men's room?
He didn't get the he's an idiot. We can't play with him anymore.
You know, I do think the Baltimore accent was real, though.
I've heard hoax. I don't know what the story is. I didn't read anything about it.
I also read that there were Egyptians involved and that they did round up, like, 20 or 30 Egyptians and arrested some of them in Baltimore.
All I know is don't eat the cocoa powder.
Cocoa powder, bad.
Bad. Don't eat it. Don't put it in milk.
Do you know anything about it?
I haven't heard anything today, no. I heard the same thing you've heard, that some Egyptians were arrested.
I've got something.
Nothing was found.
From the guy, what's our station in Baltimore, Live 105?
Yeah, it's a great
I've got it on my BlackBerry. Hold on a second. Oh, good, good, oh, good, 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 good. Because I think, I thought it was a hoax. I really did think it was a hoax.
But no, they just, they didn't find anything. I don't know if that means it's a hoax or not.
Let me get,
but, I will check the wire and see what the latest is.
A lot of times, my email gets to my BlackBerry, and I get voicemail on my BlackBerry.
That's convenient.
Hello. This is Don's BlackBerry. I'm Mayor Marion Barry, D.C. Council Ward 8. You have two messages.
Oh, okay, great.
First message. To play this message, or for me to read it, press 1. Carry Speedwack. Don, don't forget the night lights at Safeway.
I'm going to delete this one.
Yeah.
Message 2. To play this message, press 1. Bart Source.
Hey, Mike, I pressed 9.
You are a faggot.
Oh.
Watch for watching Regis and Kelly.
Oh, that's from my son.
Yes.
To save this message, press 1. To delete this message, press 3. To replay this message, press 4. By source, you are a faggot for watching Regis and Kelly.
I'm going to delete that now.
It's a great black bear.
To play message number 1 again, press 1. Carry Speedwack. Don't forget the nightlights.
I'm going to delete that one.
Safeway. To change your recording options, press 2. Hi, this is Mayor Marion Barry, Don's BlackBerry from Ward 8, D.C. City Council.
Right.
If you'd like to record a message, press 1. I did not recognize that. I did not recognize that.
Hey, it's me, Marion.
Hey, Don. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thanks for giving me this job.
No problem. You're the best BlackBerry I've had.
I appreciate it. And why don't you come down to Ward 8? We'll do some nightlife.
And, of course, you know, I really wanted Halle Berry to be my
yeah.
BlackBerry, but that never happened.
I'm 68. 68, looking forward to being mayor again. How you doing?
You know, I'll say this. You're the sweatiest BlackBerry I've ever had.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm just smiling and sweating. We're excited about Ward 8 and what's going to happen down here. You want to change your recording options?
Hey, Noah, but did that guy from Baltimore call me?
Which guy?
The guy from our station in Baltimore.
You don't have no calls from Baltimore. I'm going to check here. Our source carries Speedway. Now, everything else has been deleted.
Huh. You know what it is?
That damn McBride. Hold on, I found another one.
It's hat-wearing weather, isn't it?
You got to press 1 again.
Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Marion Barry from Ward 8. Don's BlackBerry has one other new message just came in. Press 1 to play the message. That's Ann McBride. I do not have Lyme disease. Happy day.
Okay, delete that.
Hi, this is Don's BlackBerry, and I'm out.
Okay, hey, I'll call you later.
I'll talk to you later, Don.
Okay, bye.
Don't forget Ward 8.
Right. 68
smiling sweat.
Smiling sweat.
Bye-bye.
That's your BlackBerry.
That's my, that's my BlackBerry.
That was fascinating.
There you go.
Not much information on there.
No, it's great. Are you kidding? I get all my messages.
Yeah.
It's got the thing to either save, delete. It reads them over and over. And later, we can get, like, my stock market quotes. And,
oh, that's great. We should
know,
do that.
And also, like, I'm sure it will read the internal memos that Michael Hughes sends me.
It's really an amazing piece of technology. I mean, it's like having a human being.
My BlackBerry.
Wonderful.
My Marion Berry.
Oh.
Hey, there's that same great bit happening now in delay.
Yes, turned up loud.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
My show. Nice impression. Hey, what is it that
Hey, there you go. Mike, hey, you like the positive feedback?
What a vote of confidence that is. Thanks so much, Hump.
There you go.
Hey, that's pretty good. Hey,
thank you.
Mike?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's good. Hey, I felt like I was talking to Michael Hughes.
That's pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. It turned out to be even a bigger hoax than they thought. What it was, there's these four dudes that run an Egyptian market. One of them was fooling around on his girlfriend who was still in Egypt. So she calls she knows he was here illegally. She calls the FBI from Egypt and says that the Egyptian market was about to receive a container full of explosives from the port of Baltimore, and that's why they closed the tunnels and arrested the guys at the edge of the
So it was a disgruntled woman that was responsible for the whole thing.
It was all a lover's quarrel.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, but
not a lover's quarrel. It was a disgruntled woman.
Yeah.
And I just think that's important to point out.
And didn't I read that they did arrest some Egyptian dudes, right?
Four of them, and they were all here illegally.
Oh.
And, you know, the girl, to get back at him for fooling around, knew that she could get him deported.
Yeah, but gotcha. There's one part you didn't include in that. They were all Egyptian, right?
Yes.
It was a pyramid scheme.
Sorry.
I'm very sorry.
No, you're not.
Well, you were sitting over there like the Sphinx.
You know what was really in the boxes? Posters of... Hold on. God damn it. I hate it when I think on the occasion of... Pharaoh Fawcett. Majors.
Pharaoh Fawcett.
Thank you. F-A-R-O-H. Pharaoh.
Well, now we're all in cotton.
You know what I say? Tit for tut.
There you go.
Instead of tit for tat, I say tit for tut.
Well, I'm glad nothing happened in Balmer.
In Baltimore.
No problem at all. Back to life as we know it.
Okay. Got a condo made of stone.
Wonderful.
King Tut.
Egyptian.
Enjoying your
Those
cocoa.
Those wacky Egyptians.
Now, here's the question. We've been on the air for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, we have our 20th anniversary, Mike and I do, coming up in December. And I'm here to tell you that there is still nothing but great indifference coming our way from
sure.
this company.
Yes.
And we want to say thanks.
It's one big gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now.
Why's the phone ringing?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, it's nice that you have the same delay that our listeners have when you answer the phone.
Speaking of nice gray areas.
There has been talk of stuff going on because they asked me the other day.
Yeah, only because we had to bitch about it like spoiled babies. Really. And after a while, it gets to be patronizing.
Okay. Well,
okay.
They are.
Wow, are you all right? You really sound tired.
Tired.
No, I'm okay. Things are being planned.
Right. I guess the things are being planned. So this is all going to be a surprise?
I think
so. I mean, shouldn't it tell us? Should we shut up about it?
No, we should not. Because no matter what they do, it won't be anything that they thought of. We're prodding them into it.
It's a surprise, but we need each of your sport jacket sizes.
No, I want to tell you what I want. Here's what I want.
Okay.
I want Howard Stern to come to our party.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's what I want. After 20 years together, I want to finally sit down with the king of all media before he goes to cable radio and break bread.
I think that's
what I want for the play. And I want to show him the memo from Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
That's mocking the fact he's in 10th place in the ratings.
Have it framed for him?
Yeah.
And my request is really not nearly as elaborate.
Okay.
Hot dogs.
That'll be good.
There you go. Okay?
Okay.
Howard Stern and hot dogs. That's
okay.
What we want for the 20th.
I'll let them know.
Okay, thank you.
Fine.
And that's it's non-negotiable.
I'll let them know.
Test results? Do you have your test results yet?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
Okay.
What's the matter? Why are you hustling off the phone like this?
So you can get back to work. I'm sorry.
That's your phone demeanor.
Okay, let's try this. Goodbye.
Bye, you guys. Bye. You're not saying goodbye. Bye. Bye. Okay, bye. Bye. I'm hanging up. Bye.
Oh, she's one of those people that has trouble with that.
Last word, freak.
It's kosher hot dogs.
Of course.
Get the kind made by your basketball team.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Get the Hebrew National.
Hey, those I eat the 97% fat-free ones. They are fantastic.
Those good?
I only eat the 3% that's fat.
That's what I want for the 20th. That's what I really want. Sit down and say, hey, you know, our whole show every day. Everybody's right. All we've done every day is listen to your show.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we've done. And
I think it's about time we give him the credit he deserves.
We repeat it verbatim.
Recreate it.
Right.
It's killing us that we're not going to cable radio like you. But that's what I want to do. Well, I just want to have a sit down with Howard Stern.
What are we going to do when he's gone?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I really don't know.
Let me do two words.
Yeah.
Charles Rocket.
Yeah.
And that's how.
He's gone.
And that's how I'm going to deal with it.
Oh.
In front of Howard.
Yeah, at dinner with Howard.
Yeah. As a gift, as kind of a final gift, so you can give him, on his first day at Satellite, you can give him that gift.
I know you've hated us for a lot of years, and there's been bad talk. And anyway, I just wanted to say it's great to meet you. Now, I'm going to slit my throat.
Right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of him and Michael Hughes.
That'll be delightful.
His faggot glasses.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
It certainly is a beautiful day. We should thank the leader.
Who the hell is that? Some kind of leader?
Yes. He's the head of our perfect family.
Why don't you come chat with us about the leader at the Welcome Center?
Will there be beer?
Beer is not allowed.
Home or no function, beer well without.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
The Don and Mike Show.
The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Arringer, with you. Hey, make sure to visit addictedtokelly.com for all the latest Kelly Clarkson videos and your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Brought to you by Ford. And, gee, you know, my wife and I, we own a Ford Mustang, and we like it very much. So there's a double on the plug. Now that that's out of the way, let's get into the best of Don and Mike, featuring myself, Joe Ardinger, as I speak to myself in third person. Once upon a time, my wife broke her foot. Let's find out how on the best of Don and Mike.
Get well to Joe Ardinger's wife, Tracy.
Yes, yeah. Sorry to hear about this.
Broke her foot. When she dropped a case of beer on her foot.
Yeah, and how many times have we said to Joe, Joe, bring the cases in yourself.
Right. Yeah. Joe. You know, and we're wondering...
Hey, but we don't have to tell him that. He's beating himself up about it.
I wonder if it was bottles or cans. I bet it was cans.
I think we all agreed that in the office it was cans.
I say bottles.
Because it's Miller Lite is what he drinks. Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
Tracy Baby broke her foot picking up a case of your beer.
Yes.
Bottles or cans?
Cans.
Was it Miller? Was it Miller Lite?
Of course.
Winner.
Yep. There you go. Was it a favor you asked her to do?
No, I mean it was probably just us shopping together. We usually go shopping together.
But actually, the injury happened months ago, apparently.
Yeah.
So they're not really sure. They haven't pinpointed it.
Oh. So it's only she's had a broken foot like for 2 months.
Well, it wasn't so bad at the time. Obviously, it hurt, but when we. You know, we walked all over Vegas, and when we came back from Vegas last weekend, she was on her stair stepper in just socks, like no shoes, and that's when it aggravated to the point where her foot blew up like a grapefruit.
Yeah. Okay, well, I know that you'll be taking a personal day tomorrow,
yeah.
And somehow we'll hold the show together with paper clips and scotch tape. So Godspeed, and,
yeah.
And you should know that Beth Ann's concern. Really beyond your wife's, I almost said your girlfriend, beyond your wife's foot,
mm-hmm.
Beth Ann's big concern was, what do we do at 3 o'clock? So,
right.
Because Joe says yeah. The weekend's here, I said, you know, somehow we'll manage without it.
Well, I think maybe Beth Ann should be responsible for it.
Yeah, maybe she should say it. Or maybe John Norman can step in.
No, I like Beth Ann.
Yeah, or she can modify it to make it her own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the weekend's here.
Spun look into a mirror.
What did he say? Did
look into a mirror. Yeah. The weekend's here. Look into a mirror.
Okay, I think that is. That is the winner.
Well, he trumped me. I have my own four that I wrote.
What, Mike?
The weekend's here. Spend it alone.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, cool.
Bye-bye.
You know, these accidents do happen with wives. I know just last week, Harry dropped a case of beer and got a black eye.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with the case of beer.
It had everything to do with it.
Your
you
reaction.
Don't, you it. Don't drop my beer.
Fellas, here we go. Highway Love Connection for Rednecks. We're giving away Willie Nelson tickets.
Good.
Front row seats. Second row seats. This, of course, is not Willie Nelson. We never get to play this. With good reason. Let's get these girls going. Here we go. Let's start with Adrian. Yo, Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, guys. I'm doing great.
Good. Glad to hear it. Adrian, first question. Are you a nap?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely beautiful. And you wouldn't mind going to Willie Nelson in the first, or I guess if you get a guy that you like first before the other girls, you'll get to be in the first row.
Then the second, the first runner-up will get the second row tickets.
Right.
Okay.
Adrian,
fair enough.
What makes you a redneck? How do you qualify?
I'm a corn-fed country girl. I work construction. I got my bulldog in the front of my company pickup truck as we speak.
Baby.
I like it.
Baby.
Sitting in front of William Steele, which is off of Prince William Parkway.
Okay, hold on. We're going to ask you for all that. Mm-hmm. First, we need to know the celebrity you think you most resemble.
Adrian Barbeau.
Adrian Barbeau. And how young a woman are you, Adrian?
I'm 52.
52. Good for you. And what's your brand? Cigarettes.
Marlboro Light.
Who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
Dale Earnhardt Ann Jr.
What's your favorite video on CMT right now?
I don't watch that.
What is your favorite food?
Ouch.
My favorite food?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ribs. Finger licking good.
In this area, actually, in the area of Washington, it can either be ribs or crabs.
What do you order at Applebee's?
Oh, I don't go to Applebee's. Come on.
Oh, now, see, that's two great stereotypes that we've had.
I got to be able to pull up and blow the horn, you know.
You know, I know you're a woman, but have you ever dipped?
Yeah, matter of fact, I did. Listen, it was cool. I had that square of Taylor's side in my back pocket because I was working with all these iron workers down in Florida.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
And I was an inspector, and I could always tell where the foreman was from the spit on the floor. And so I went and got some and put it in my mouth, and I didn't see any spit on the floor anymore because the guys were like, "You kiss with that mouth?" And I said, "I was going to ask y'all the same thing."
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Y'all the same things. We got one here.
I'm dying to get in my car right now and drive to where you are.
Yeah.
Hey, my bulldog. You got to be nice to my bulldog.
I got your bulldog.
What's your bulldog's name?
Roscoe.
This is the greatest first contestant for this game.
I believe she probably has a bulldog in her pants as well.
He said hi, guys.
Tell him we said hi.
I bet down there kind of looks like a bulldog. You know, a bulldog's face with all the flaps.
Yeah, with his tongue hanging out.
He's awesome. He's only 3 months.
Just a baby dog.
Yep.
Roscoe. So listen, here we go, Adrian. You're the first, and we heard the dog. Tell us where you're located and what kind of vehicle you're driving.
I'm a William Steele off Prince William Parkway, and that's like between 28 and 66. And I'm driving my company engineering consultant pickup truck. It's a little Ranger, I think, full of Ford Ranger. Extended cab. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, the location I got between 28 and 66, but what was the name of the place?
William Steele. It has a sign that says, Iron Workers Wanted. I felt comfortable parking here.
So I guess you won't get messed with over there.
Blue Steel. Blue Steel's cat couldn't scratch it. Okay, Adrian, here's the deal. If you guys remember her location, then we can start, because I never remember this stuff. Adrian will give you 60 seconds. What we'd like you to do is, again, tell everybody where you are, tell them what kind of vehicle you're in, and tell them what you can offer at the Willie Nelson concert in the front row. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Sell yourself, darling. Go.
Yeehaw! This is Adrian Stearns. I'm sitting in front of William Steele. That's a sign that says, Iron Workers Wanted. I got my bulldog in the front of the pickup truck. Been working hard all day, wanting construction, you know? And if I was sitting in the front row over there at that concert, I'd be wanting to ask Willie, could I sing a song? Because I do sing.
Oh, singer too.
Oh, well. Keep rolling. You got
what are you looking for in a man, Adrian?
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead.
How about a good big one and a pocket full of money?
A good big one. You like a big man?
Now, buddy. What if it was a skinny guy like Boomhauer?
Sir?
Do you watch King of the Hill?
I can't hear you. Try it again.
I'm trying all my redneck stuff here.
I know, and she's... I think she wants a big guy. Is that right, sir? Sort of.
I like big guys. The taller they are, the harder they fall.
The taller they are, the harder they fall.
Now, when you say big, did you mean that you want them tall, or would you rather that... Or did you want a nice, plump guy? Fat guy?
Oh, no. I want lean and mean.
Oh, you want lean. Yes, so you want a big, strapping guy.
Oh, yeah.
You want a tall drink of water.
Any age requirements?
Oh, yeah.
Any age requirements, Adrian?
Sir?
Any age requirements?
No dipping, okay? And it's better work.
Adrian, should he bring a hearing aid?
Sure, why not?
How old a man would you like him to be?
Oh, about 50-ish.
Uh-huh.
About 50.
What color is that pickup truck again?
White.
Boy, I hope one of the Hager brothers shows up.
Oh, God, I just heard the buzzer. What's that? Did I screw up? I
know. No, you didn't screw up. No. Now you wait for your knight in shining armor.
I hope Grandpa Jones from Hee Haw shows up. listen, no, Adrian.
I'll have gray hair by the time that happens.
Adrian, you are simply in play now, and because you're on a delay, So really, what you've said has just now gone out of over the radio. We will go to another redneck girl, and we will come back to you, so don't hang up.
All right, sir.
All right, darling.
Hang on there.
Please don't call me sir. And here now is...
How's that?
Ashley.
Hello.
And say hi to our next contestant on the Redneck Highway Love Connection. This would be lovely Ashley. And Ashley, are you a neck?
I am a neck, yes, sir.
Right on.
What qualifies you as a redneck, Ashley?
Well, I think I should win by default just because my middle name is Virginia Pearl.
Virginia Pearl.
Oh, I bet you've got a nice Virginia Pearl.
I have the best Virginia Pearl boys, yes.
Ashley.
Man, how old are you, Ashley?
I'm 23 years old.
23. And who's the celebrity you think you most resemble, Ashley?
Well, this Russian guy at my work keeps calling me Miss Sharapova. I don't really know who she is. Apparently, she's a tennis player.
Oh, a new tennis star, new hottie.
She's that... Yeah.
See in tennis. A good thing.
Well, I guess I should start saying thank you, then.
So you're a blonde, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's out of a bottle, correct?
What's that? No. Really? Her patch of drapes, you know what I'm saying? Oh. No. I screwed that one up.
No, you didn't.
Did she say yes?
No, she just did.
She said the curtains matched
the drapes, which is the same thing. What are the kind of rednecky things do you like? Are you a construction worker?
I'm not a construction worker. I'm actually a cook at a resort here in Ellicott City.
Okay.
All right. Beautiful. And what are you looking for in your redneck man?
I guess someone that doesn't hit me all the time.
That's a redneck.
Definitely a smoker.
Definitely a smoker.
Someone that doesn't hit me all the time.
You've come to the right smoker. Fantastic.
Ashley, exactly where are you located?
I'm exactly located at the Columbia Shopping Center. I'm parked outside of Nordstrom right now.
That's a little highfalutin, isn't it?
Yeah, a little highfalutin to get a redneck over there.
Of course, Ellicott City, that is the resort capital of the world.
Is it now?
Yeah, is it now? And what kind of vehicle are you in, Ashley?
I'm actually, I guess, a new age redneck because I'm in a Suzuki Firenza right now.
Oh, you're driving a Jap car. Very nice for a redneck. So you're in a red Suzuki, and exactly where are you parked?
It's black, actually. I'm parked outside Nordstrom. It's like between Nordstrom and, I guess, Tech. Right now.
I'm done. I have a brain fart there. You did say Nordstrom, and I said it was a red car.
Have you ever chewed tobacco, Ashley?
I have, actually. I had a big fixation with the movie A League of Their Own when I was younger.
Okay.
Yeah, and I swiped some of my grandfather's chew one time and just about lost my mind.
You got to go for a girl that says swipe, baby. Mm-hmm.
Do you know any line dances?
Do I?
Yes.
I have been line dancing, yeah. There you
bingo. I'll go to a qualifier.
All right, you're good. Here's the deal, Ashley. We'll give you 60 seconds. What we'd like you to do is, again, tell all the necks that you're there at Nordstrom's, exactly where the mall is, what type of car you're in.
Talk about what you're looking for in a man.
And we'll give you 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, next, here is Ashley. Go ahead, honey.
Everybody, this is Ashley Virginia Pearl. I'm parked outside of the hospital in Nordstrom, Columbia Shopping Center. I'm in a black Suzuki Jet car. Hi. And I'm looking for somebody that doesn't bitch when I ask them to bum a cigarette. And someone doesn't bitch about my smoking. I'd be more than happy to share a doobie with my gentleman friend at the Willie Nelson concert. I don't know if I'm allowed to say doobie.
That's all right, sure.
Nobody named Cletus. I guess that might eliminate.
Buzz just ran for his car. I'll be right there.
And let me see. How much of an education would you like to? Is a high school diploma important?
Not so much.
Do you find it?
Well, I don't have one. Right. I have a GED. That's
yeah. I was gonna say, do you find the GED sexy? I do.
Yeah, buddy.
My brain's on the wall.
Hold on, that's her 60 seconds.
Yeah, so that's Ashley out of the key, Columbia Shopping Center, and she's in the black Suzuki.
Ashley, we will come back to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hold on there, honey. And now let's go back to Adrian.
You.
Adrian.
Yo.
You know what? I accidentally hung up on Ashley. If someone would pick that back up. Adrian, have you had any luck?
Sir?
Have you had any luck? I forgot with Adrian.
Yeah, with Adrian, you have to speak up loudly.
Have you
had... No, I haven't. The only one that came by was a cop.
And was he listening to the show, or were you simply sitting there and he wanted you to move along?
Well, I'm sitting here at this no parking sign, but he just, like, checked me out and left.
He checked you out, didn't even say hello?
No.
Did he come up to you and say, drink it up?
No.
You and that dog better get out of here.
Where is Adrian again? I forgot. She's like
Adrian is on the Prince William Parkway. That's between 66 and Route 28 at Williams Steel. I guess she's in the parking lot, which if I'm correct, Adrian, that's a ways off of Prince William Parkway, right?
Oh, it's like less than a mile.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. It's not like you're right off of... The Prince William Parkway. You got to do a little driving.
Now maybe the chick at Nordstrom's has the advantage if she's in the more public location.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a sec. We'll come back to you, Adrian.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to Ashley.
Oh, good.
Who's only been in play for like less than 2 minutes
right
now.
Right.
Ashley.
Yes.
Hi there, honey.
Hi there.
Anything happening yet?
No, not yet. Chickens are a little slim, I guess.
It will. It'll happen. What are you wearing, Ashley?
I'm actually wearing man clothes right now, to be honest.
Man clothes.
That's good. Describe your man clothes.
I'm wearing black pants and a white chef coat and a fine Turf Valley Resort baseball hat.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you're wearing the chef clothes because that's what you wear at work.
Right.
I got it. Cool. Yeah. And when you go home at night, do you shave your legs?
Well, it just depends on how many beers I had.
That is a redneck. I like that.
Who would not want to go to Willie Nelson with his chick?
I want to shave my legs, but the beard.
Oh, come on, guys. I'll shave my legs for Willie Nelson.
Oh, really?
I might even shave my armpits for Willie Nelson.
I think there's a joke about that involves Willie Nelson. Yeah. Who's the guy in the middle? That's the punchline.
How about further south?
That's the joke that I'm saying.
But I'm asking her, though,
mm-hmm.
for Willie Nelson, would you do, if Willie Nelson asked you to shave everything, would you?
Well, yeah.
If you could have a doobie with him?
Who's to say that's not already the current condition?
Well, it probably will be. Hopefully it will be. There's nothing wrong with doobie number two. Usually the best one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Did she say
doobie number two?
Doobie number two.
Because we're talking about you shaving yourself.
We are all over the shaving issue, Ashley.
Now what was the question?
Exactly.
Hold on, Ashley. There are a lot of guys that are calling who can't find these girls.
Yeah.
For instance, here's some guy named Dialer. He's got to be a neck.
Dialer?
Hi, Dialer.
Dialer.
D-Y-L-E-R?
No, Skyler.
Oh, Skyler.
Skyler. Well,
homo.
Speaking of the birdcage.
My name is Skyler.
Have you ever a lot of
warm beer?
Who's your roommate, Serena?
Skyler, which one of these chicks are you trying to find?
The first one, the one by the steel place.
Adrian.
Right, hold on. Adrian. Let me conference you with her. Adrian?
Yes.
We've got Skyler who's trying to find you. Skyler, where are you right now?
I'm actually coming off of 28, and the part she's talking about, I was thinking of Liberia Avenue is where she should be at.
Liberia? No,
never mentioned, Skyler.
No, Liberia, it kind of branches off. The parkway kind of hooks and, changes name.
Do you understand where he is, Adrian?
Yeah, he's at BFE.
Okay, that's great. That which means what? Big Epping.
No, it's a restaurant around here.
It's kind of like how Mike said.
It's called Big Epping Eats.
It's kind of like how Mike said. It's not really on the parkway. It's off the parkway.
Okay, so how long do you think it'll take you to find Adrian?
Probably about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Now, Adrian, can you guide him in?
Oh my goodness!
She's
I haven't
used
done
to doing
that.
Yeah.
Well, I can guide myself in. That's not a problem.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Skyler, you try to find her, and we're gonna hang up on you.
All right.
Bye, Skyler.
I'll call back if I can find her.
Okay, thanks. Adrian, hold on a second, honey.
I'm pretty sure BFE is Bum F Egypt, meaning that he's way out of the way.
Let's go back to Ashley. Ashley.
I got one, guys.
Shocker, not surprised.
Shocker, that took a little longer than I thought it was.
See, she's out of the shopping center.
Right.
And also she did. How old is Wonderful Adrian?
23, and she looks like Sharapova.
Oh, that's
not good.
No, Adrian, the other one.
Adrian's 52.
Right.
could be a P-R-O-B-L-E-M.
Oh, really?
I think it's more location.
You think so?
Yeah, really. Hey, Skylar doesn't think it's a problem. Skylar's on his way. Yeah. He's just too dumb to find her.
Ashley?
Yes?
The guy that showed up, do you like him? Would you like to go to Willie Nelson's in the front row?
I would love to go to Willie Nelson in the front row with him.
Well, put the lucky young booger eater on the phone.
Because we got to talk.
Hold on a second.
Got to talk to him. Make sure he's a redneck.
I bet he's Federlinian.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. What's your name there, sir?
I'm Alex.
Alex. Well, that is not a redneck name.
No,
it
Alex,
isn't.
That's a waspy. It's like Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could be Cletus, you know.
You could be. Do you consider yourself a redneck, Alex?
Well, I live in western Howard County, and I live near, like, horses and stuff, so...
We'll give it to you.
Lives near horses.
Now, this Ashley, I don't know how much you heard of her on the radio. Obviously, you heard enough to come find her, but just from talking to her, I mean, seems to me she, you know, that's a home run. That's like playing t-ball. You know, I mean, she's just put the thing right, and you just got to knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, she's gonna get you high.
Yeah, she's got nice blonde hair. She's wearing a cook's uniform, but it still looks pretty good in it.
Mm-hmm. So you're attracted to Ashley, right there, Alex?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, well, then put her on the phone, and this will be a successful love connection.
A successful redneck love connection. Hi.
Hey, here we go. Ashley, front row seat. That's right. That's right, for you and this guy. What was this guy's name again?
Alex.
For you and Alex. Front row seats, see Willie Nelson live at the concert, Patriot Center, on November 9th. Tickets are not even sale yet. They go on sale tomorrow at noon. Enjoy, have a great time, and we'll give you $50 so you can buy some Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, although we're not allowed to give away beer.
Yes.
Awesome, I can wear my Pabst Blue Ribbon t-shirt.
Of course.
You just sound like a fun girl, Ashley.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Hey, Ashley. You're gonna screw that guy, right? I don't mean like you're gonna screw him up. I mean you're gonna have intercourse with him, right? Would you answer?
Well,
yeah. Right. How about that?
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Donna, my show does not encourage or pursue.
She already has.
And now let's go back.
Yo, Adrian.
Check with Adrian, who's way out in BF. Bum F. Adrian.
Yeah.
Baby.
Are you sitting in the empty parking lot of the steel mill?
Oh, it's not an empty parking lot. I'm waiting for everybody to get off work, I guess.
So you've not gotten a sniff yet, huh? Not even just a little
bit. No Skylar?
I don't see anybody.
Just Adrian out there with her dog on a rascal.
On a motorized
scooter. Okay, Adrian, we have to play commercials with some more of a wonderful singing advertisements, but we're going to keep you in play.
Yeah, the good news is you get to wait through the commercial break.
Actually, we'll call you back so we don't run up your minutes. Once again, Adrian, tell all those necks where you are.
Yeah, and try to be as specific as possible, Adrian.
I'm at William Steele. I think it's 649 in Prince William Parkway, about a half mile off Prince William Parkway. I'm a redneck girl, sitting in my truck with my bulldog in the front seat, waiting on the Willie Nelson ticket.
And will you screw the guy that shows up as well?
Oh, I'll fix him up.
And for the overwhelming majority of citizens in this area that don't know where the F William Steele is, you're screwed.
Yeah, right. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
And our winner will be, too. She's already said that you give that up. Adrian, hold on. We'll come back to you after these singing advertisements.
All right.
Hold on, please.
Well, to be any more specific, she would have had to say, I'm at the plant.
You know where that is.
You know the one.
You know the plant. Okay. You know the old plant.
Yes, the old Adrian plant, Adrian Barbeau.
Well, that worked good with us, with the first neck girl.
Lovely 23-year-old Ashley.
So let's find somebody for Adrian.
Actually, close.
I can't understand why nobody's here.
Waiting for the boys to get off of work.
Great big fart.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared. Hello?
Yep. I'm sorry. I'm going to rephrase that.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Right, and don't forget it. Best of Don and Mike on vacation for a couple of weeks. Till then, you've got me.
legendary Joe Arnger with you on this fine, fine Thursday afternoon. Well, let's keep it rolling. Played Larry King there. That's because we got Jerry and Larry, two great minds that think alike. On the best, Don and Mike.
Jerry, last night.
Jerry?
With Larry King, yes. Jesus Christ. You will never believe how bad this is. Now, what is this, Rob? You got the DVD?
We have the DVD.
Okay. If you want to watch Jerry,
right,
we can watch him. But first, let's just listen to him.
Yes.
Jerry Lewis.
And then I sat and really worked it.
There. That's the one we've been playing all morning.
No.
All afternoon, rather.
Here's Jerry talking about what it was like working with Dean Martin last night from Larry King Live.
I was never really targeting a book, Larry. I was targeting all the recollections for myself, really. And when you see the other material that's not in the book, you'll understand what I mean by I was doing it for me.
Twitchy.
And please also to guess.
Super twitchy.
He's twitchy. He's got the...
Mm-hmm.
He's got his fingers are constantly moving like Homer Simpson's, where Homer seems
right.
Like
right.
Sees a donut. And the underlying message in all of this is, and please count the number of times when Jerry is speaking about he's on the show allegedly for his love of Dean Martin.
Right.
Yet please note how many times he mentions the book.
Okay. Yes. And me.
The book. Yeah.
Me and I. Right. He's one of the me and I people biblical proportions.
The next book, which will be out when this is paperback, the second book's title is All the Stuff I Couldn't Get in the First Book. That's the title.
Now, you were a part, this is the surprising thing, you were only together 10 years?
10 years to the night. We teamed up July 25th, 1946, and we finished it all July 25th, 1956, at the Copa. The last show was at 2 a.m.
Jerry.
But it seemed like forever.
Well,
you were an American institution.
Pretty much, yeah.
Why do you think that we think it
is Larry
forever?
Firing those speedballs again?
Well,
and also it's the Larry that we love.
Yeah.
Why you think?
Why?
You were an institution.
Why you think, Jerry?
I think
Martin and Lewis was ham and eggs.
Yeah, I think... We all thought it was longer because when you have something good, you know, you save the best for last.
Shut up. Okay, now they're going to talk about how Jerry's handsome.
Is Jerry, now it seems to me that Larry's mic is very clear. Did Jerry have a sweater on? Because it just sounds a little muffled, like maybe his lavalier microphone was not put in the right spot.
Jerry had like a suit jacket on, but again, one of those weird tuxedo shirts.
Kind of one of those double-breasted jackets?
Yeah, with 8,000 buttons on the tuxedo shirt.
But it's blood red. It's a blood red tuxedo shirt with 5,000 buttons on it.
All right, so here he is. Jerry's a handsome man. The open with a cue, with a clip.
That's where he talks, sings hi.
Well, no, what you have to know is that they're showing the clip, but Jerry talks through it.
Ah.
And so they've got his mic live.
Right.
He's talking while there's a clip.
And is this clip going to have Jerry singing high voice, Jerry?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, that looks funny. Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin were the same size.
That's a tight show.
Did you play smaller?
I always crouch, yeah.
Because?
Because if you're playing the underdog, you have to look it.
Yeah.
You can't go toe-to-toe with somebody that's beating on you.
Now, hold on. Wow. Understand what he's saying here. He had to be shorter than Dean Martin.
He had to crouch to make it funny.
To make it funny.
Right.
Because he's so handsome and tall.
Right.
If he really extended himself, if he fully erected himself.
Yeah. I mean, you look back at those old movies, I mean, he was tarred like.
And have you looked as strong or as vital as the...
You were also a handsome man, and you had to play not handsome, right? In order for it to work.
I don't know.
You were, I mean, let's not kid, you were a handsome man and you played against that.
Why didn't you ever call? I played against, of course, he was, you know, the title, the first thing that I had ever written for us, the title of which was Sex and Slapstick. And you have to, when you have that in your mind and you're creating images, I saw this wonderful image of this Adonis and a monkey.
got a wonderful image of an Adonis and a monkey.
Wonderful image there.
The monkey.
I've seen those old movies. I don't know where Larry got the handsome part in there.
All right, now here they start to discuss. Not gay. Aphrodisiac, not gay.
Huh. Now, at the bottom of that, you got to remember that there's something, it's almost like an aphrodisiac to watch two men love one another.
Wow.
And have no shame of that.
What?
Remember, in 1946, there weren't that many closets coming open, and we didn't have any fear of misinterpretation. But how can you fear it? He's my hero. He's 10 years my senior. I looked at him like he was Mickey Mantle, for crying out loud. And I needed that brother. I needed that friend. I needed that,
so
that
crap.
Force to take me and move me and allow my comedy to play against this marvelous
scene. See, it's a brief comment about Dean, where he says, and it's a nice one. I mean, to say he was Mickey Mantle, I idolized the guy. And then he launches into, I needed me. If you read between the lines, it's really, I think he's being honest without intending to be honest, that he's reading between the lines saying, it almost sounds like he kind of used old Dean.
Now, there's a lot of Jerry talking about Dean. And now, Rob, you're the expert on this. I'm certainly not an expert on this.
Right.
They were not best buddies. But as it turns out, since he died, much like Ed McMahon, who we're going to have on the show next week, and we will never have the balls to say this to his face. Remember, the talk with Ed and Johnny was that they would talk like once a year.
Right.
Well, now that Johnny is in the ground, Ed's writing a book saying, you know, Johnny was my best friend. Because what's Johnny going to come back and dispute it?
Does his book say that, though? Because I haven't read the book.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there are many chapters where Ed goes, well, we'll bring this up with him on the show.
How close were you? You know, I mean, really, were you that close? I'd like to know.
But one of the things that Jerry Lewis talks about, I think Jerry, like, I know who he is.
Jerry.
Well, talking about with Dean Martin about how close they were. And, of course, Dean Martin cannot have a say in this. Also, he goes at great length here about Frank Sinatra, about how great Frank was.
Everything I read about Dean Martin and everything about, you know, whether he was a young man or even when he was, you know, when he basically sat like in the corner of a restaurant during his last days, he would not do this kind of a show. You wouldn't get him on. He'd be the last guy in the world who would want that.
He never showed emotion. He never would reach out to anybody.
Right.
He was the loner of loners, and Jerry was not.
All right, so now here's Jerry talking about another dead guy who can't say that he hated Jerry, Frank Sinatra.
Did you like what Frank did?
Yes, tonight? I loved it. I loved it. He was always my hero. Frank and I went back more than 50 years together. And he...
I'm hearing that, and right away I think... Well, that's got to be a lie.
Frank can't dispute that.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back 50 years. That would put us in 1945?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay, 1945. Was Frank there for Jerry in 1945?
Were they aware of each other? You know, if you want to be literal.
I bet Jerry was aware of Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
They were coming up together. I doubt they were friends.
Would always do things like that. He always came out of the man for other people, which a lot of people didn't know about. And when I do lectures around the country, I work very closely with the Get Motivated seminars, and I will tell the people, I'll run the clip and I'll tell them what Frank did, and I also tell them that he was the most maligned man in show business.
Now, also what Jerry's talking about is 1 year on the telephone.
He got them, he brought them back out.
Frank Sinatra
got
Dean Martin to show up and not punch Jerry Lewis in the face.
Right.
Okay, so that's what they're talking about.
And they only printed what he said to the newspaper woman in Australia, but they never said what she said. And that was part of his history. So I had to let them know that he called me one day because a fireman was killed in Rockford, Illinois. He said, meet me at the airport. Bring your tux. I brought my tux. I met him. We flew.
Is that the jar?
Yes, it's met. It sucks.
1.5 hours. We did a show for 2.5 hours. We raised about $275,000 for the family of four children.
I could listen to him say
Frank.
Dollars all
right. The band in
he brought the band from Chicago, paid out of his own pocket, and he did that all the time.
Right. Okay. Now
dollars.
We just cut right to the.
I gave him $1,000.
Now,
did he talk about pain during the interview at all?
No.
Oh.
It was all about the book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the last 2 minutes bring us the best part.
Okay.
And I really got to set this up for you. That they're going to the wide shot. And Larry says, Dean Martin, the day that he died, tell us, what did you think? Listen how fast Jerry goes to the plug for the book. And you must know that the book is sitting directly to Jerry Lewis's left. And as he starts to speak about the book and the embossing on the book, he strokes the book.
So the question, though, is about the last moments of Dean.
The last moments of Dean Martin's life.
Dean's death.
And I also like the Jerry Bruckner, the big print edition.
I don't know if the clip has the question, but the question is...
It's just the answer.
The question is, how did you feel when you finally got the word that Dean Martin, your longtime partner, had died?
Okay. Nothing compared to this loss. And I can only tell you I grieve to this day. And I love the book that I can see his face. And...
Oh, my God.
If you notice, the book has a very beautiful lettering that's embossed. Even on the edge, it's embossed. Because he was entitled to that.
Huh. Wow. So he goes from how do you feel now to, smoothly into that book. Wow.
Now, this is where I am falling out of my chair last night. What do you think about Dean? And he says, well, it's all right here in the book. And then he rubs his hand and he goes, it's embossed. Like you've never bought a hardback book that
it's been embossed.
And then he actually turns it and he strokes the spine and he says, that's embossed too. And he looks right in the camera and he goes, because he deserved that.
He was entitled to that.
Right.
Jesus.
That's weird. Jesus. That's very, very, that's very odd.
That's Jerry.
That is Jerry. Yeah, that's the odd side of Jerry.
You can hear him fondling the book.
Here it is one more time. Just the embossed part.
If you notice, the book has a very beautiful lettering that's embossed. Even on the edge, it's embossed. Because he was entitled to that.
Wow. How strange, Dean. How very, very strange.
Probably be entitled to some of the money from this.
I would, maybe, yeah, that might be it. Very, very interesting. Sounds to me like another, in a roundabout way, kind of a book plug.
What would Jerry be on a TV show without his Nazi joke?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
he's always got to have a Nazi joke.
Always.
Thanks for a wonderful hour, Jerry.
Thank you, Larry. It's always good to be with you and your wonderful crew. I love them, especially this little SS troop here.
Chelsea, yeah. Jerry Lewis, the book, Dean and Me, A Love Story. Tomorrow night, Lee Zegar.
Larry moves right by it.
Thanks for a wonderful hour, Jerry.
Thank you, Larry. It's always good to be with you and your wonderful crew. I love them, especially this little SS troop here.
Chelsea, yeah. Jerry Lewis. The book, Dean and Me, A Love Story.
Said Larry closed by singing.
Elvis.
If you refuse me, honey, you lose me.
The frog.
Yeah, you've seen Larry in cartoon form.
And tell me I'm your own.
Larry. Big shoulders, small waist.
Before we take a break, let's take a break and check in with Anderson Cooper, who will host Anderson Cooper 360 at the top of the hour.
Is he still on?
He's on.
What? All right, go ahead. Yeah.
Ask him what he's doing tonight.
Yeah, what are you doing tonight, Anderson?
Hey, lady!
Sorry, boys. Jesus.
Hi, boys.
Now you know why we get the big bucks, Anderson.
thanks very much, guys. Yeah, tonight we're going to be taking a hard look at the president's speech today.
Yeah, guys, tonight I'm going to be considering the fact that no one's watching.
Tonight I'll be turning on Fox. God.
Hey, Jerry, tell me. When you were alone.
And then I sat and really worked it.
There it is. God, he keeps on giving.
How'd that work out for you, Jerry?
He keeps on giving.
If you notice, the book has a very beautiful lettering that's embossed. Even on the edge, it's embossed. Because he was entitled to that.
Damn, damn, damn!
Here we go.
Everybody do the Michigan ride.
Larry.
And then
Larry's
I sat and really worked it.
A lot of things going on there. We got Florida in the kitchen, Larry singing.
How'd you come up with that voice?
My voice?
No, that a stretch voice.
When I get excited, hello, it's still there, but it's not quite as...
That's not your voice.
It's quite as juvenile as it was. I found that the excitable was very, very fun to watch and listen to. And remember that the excitable, which would take the voice up there, diminished all other sounds around. I do that today in a restaurant. It gets very quiet. If I want the waiter, I'll just go, say ya! And he's there. You know. There's something about it that is commanding.
Wow.
There he is.
Wow. He will have analysis of everything he's ever done.
Yes.
He's got it all figured out.
And why it's
good. If you notice, the book has a very beautiful lettering that's embossed. Even on the edge, it's embossed.
Because
it, he was entitled to that.
Everything they do, the Michigan ride.
All right. Oh, you got to love it.
Okay, that's. I mean, we've got 8,000 more tapes, but let's take a break.
Jerry.
Notice how much shorter I appeared. I was the same height as you.
This is where they have all the dead air when they come back from the break.
Who's tapping?
Jerry.
Now that looks funny. Jerry Lewis.
Jerry is sitting like...
Notice how I'm shorter.
Jerry's doing something.
I crouched. Hey, lady. I crouch.
Thanks for a wonderful hour, Jerry.
Thank you, Larry. It's always good to be with you and your wonderful crew. I love them, especially this little SS trooper here.
Kelsey, yeah. Jerry Lewis, the book, Dean and Me.
That's like minimal Larry effort there. Isolate that one. The two of them together. Magical.
Stay there. We'll be right back.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don't blame them. Blame the system.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Blame the system, man. Don and Mike on vacation for a couple of weeks. I've been your host, legendary Joe Ardinger. We got one more segment for you, though, so stick around. It's a good one whenever Don rags on our general manager, Michael Hughes. It's the best, the Don and Mike.
Hey.
Huh?
Oh, it's the hold music guy.
I know.
I've got a question about the lineup.
Oh, good.
You called her on the
phone. I was like, I got to pick. Hello?
You have to ask the question, right? Oh, no, he has to stop it.
Hello? Call hold music guy.
He'll be with you shortly.
He plays with us, you know.
He really does play with us a lot.
But your call is important.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to move on if you don't pick up soon.
You got to pick up and give us the silence so we can ask the question and you can put the music back on. Now, come on now.
Hey, hello.
Why are you being difficult? He is a very difficult man.
Give me 5 more seconds there.
Oh, he just played
with us.
He played.
5, 4, 3. Call back some other time. I like that phoner fine, but you got to play the game.
Play the game right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mark, hey, fat boy, blooper. You want to play with me? You got to come to my level, bitch.
What the hell was that?
Was that a beluga call?
I don't know. Is that about your girlfriend's dog?
I think that was a beluga. Oh, man. I just wanted to say I enjoyed hauling his fat ass through the airport yesterday. Jesus. I mean, I almost broke his back trying to cram him under the seat. They moved Carla on the plane. We were in an emergency row, and they had to move Carla to the back of the plane because she had the dog. And he actually dug a hole through his little doggy carrier.
Hello. Wow. Don and Mike Show.
Forgot to tell you that.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, I was wondering if you got a chance to see Wanda Sykes at all.
Wanda Sykes, on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Wait, was she on with Regis?
No, she was on with the MTV guy.
This guy can't get by the way this guy's talking.
Napoleon, I was not able to catch it.
She was on with the MTV guy.
How old are you?
37.
Say! Do you live with your mother?
Whoa.
on the site right now. I was wondering if you got a chance to see that dark-complected woman comic on with the MTV guy.
The way we're talking now is almost the way that we imitate Michael Hughes.
Almost.
You know, I think it would make this a better all-around experience would be some wine.
Wine would be better. Wine is good. Warm wine. Warm up a glass of wine, and then if you so want the sex, we're thinking of giving her a 25-minute radio program.
Okay. Now, this is way behind the scenes, but who cares?
You're playing inside baseball.
On the new Free FM, who cares with this lineup, who gives a frig? I was talking with Rob over the vacation.
Right.
About how ridiculous the lineup on the station is now. And I'd be amazed if anybody listens to the station. It's such a hodgepodge, I'm kidding, of course. It's a killer lineup. It's like the 61 Yankees.
Bingo.
So, I said to Rob something along the lines of, you know, Hughes, who's the general manager, who had to sign off on this awful lineup that we're on now, he must just get drunk all the time. And I said to Rob, you know what, he's probably got his family convinced that they probably... He probably, before he comes to work in the morning, because remember, he's got to be the guy that sits at the desk and says, okay, here's the winning lineup.
We'll start with the Junkies, and then Peter Rosenberg for 2 hours, and then Bill O'Reilly for 2 hours, and then Penn Jillette for an hour, and Donna Mike for four, and Jay Severin for three, and then Love Line. Now, I know it's political talk, and there's some humor, and sports, and hardcore sex. You know what Daddy really needs this morning would be a glass of warm wine
for medicinal purposes. Now, let me add up what we've got here. It still doesn't make 24 hours, so let's add a few more shows.
You know, would you be a good boy and warm Daddy up some wine?
Put a little wine in a saucepan and warm it up for Daddy.
Now, did you fix Daddy's thermos?
Filled with warm wine.
Daddy's free up.
Some people take soup to work.
It's
not as good as warm wine.
It's a long, cold ride. It's my warm wine.
This delicious, warm Chardonnay.
And, you know, around his house, when he's on the phone, like with the executives, and I'm sure his family can tell, because it's mainly Hughes going,
yes, sir, no, sir, great idea, sir.
You know, that his family's got to be, like, hiding behind the door, uh-oh, Daddy's on the phone again. Warm up the wine.
Yeah. Honey, where's my wine mitten? I need my wine mitten. This is a little chilly.
Yeah, because the thought is, here's our thought process, that Hughes is such, Michael Hughes, the general manager, the de facto general manager, he is one of these guys, such a brown-nosing guy, want to do everything right for corporate. He couldn't be like Steve Johnson, who's just drunk every day at work.
No, we have that
and doesn't hide it. Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you walk up to Steve, go, oh, Miller Lite today?
Yeah.
It's really easy got to figure out.
Thank you. We're going to the bowl.
Now, Michael Hughes, the general manager, I think he hides it. That what he does the wine thing.
To compensate for everything that he has to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all of these awful decisions that he's had to put his rubber stamp on. So what he does is, I don't know why this struck me as funny, but this is over vacation. I said that to Rob. I said, what if, like, in the morning, when he comes down to breakfast, like, you got the whole perfect family sitting there, his wife, and they've got, like, waffles, and they've got, it's like the movie Pleasantville,
right,
where they've got the gigantic food, and all of a sudden, where's Daddy's warm wine?
Warm
some wine. I like the saucepan idea. Fresh off the stove.
Gosh, it's 6:28 a.m. I'd like some warm Merlot. Good morning. I'm on a conference call. Yes, hold on. Just let me get my
The warmer the better.
Did you warm? Oh, ow! Daddy's wine's too hot.
I want it warm, not hot.
Don't let it boil.
There's steam coming off it. That's too hot.
Just warm.
Make it warm.
Daddy's warm wine.
Delicious. Oh, no, none for me. I won't have a waffle. I'll just have a glass of warm wine.
Or maybe he does.
Anyone mind if I dunk?
Dunks his bagel in his warm wine.
That's delicious.
His mug of wine.
Daddy, why do you drink warm wine at breakfast?
Well, because Daddy's got a radio station that's got a lineup that's just really not... Listen, I don't want to discuss it with you. I'm past the Ernest and Julio.
Ernest and Julio? Is
Ernest and Julio Gallo. Right next to that warm bottle of Kendall Jackson.
Now, this is a very good chemistry experiment. Inside the box, it's made of foil. So you can't put the entire box in the microwave. Just put it in a saucepan, never boiling.
Oh, no, no bagel for me. Could I have another mug?
It doesn't sit well. The bagel's not sitting well.
Warm wine.
Why is it funny?
It's funny, I don't know.
Why is it funny? Him drinking warm wine.
Believable.
At breakfast. It is funny, though.
Time for another mug.
Because here's what it is. It's like this. It's around the... You guys just be the family around the table talking. You be the wife, the son, the mother, and I'll be Hugh. You know?
Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael Hughes. Yes, Joel. Yes. Can you hold on 1 second? Hey, Billy.
Yes. Would you get Daddy some more wine?
Yes.
Joel's on the phone again.
Yes, Joel. Yes. Oh, no. It's a 1 hour show. Can you hold on a moment?
Oh, dear.
Please?
Pour your father some more wine.
Here it is, Dad. Not white wine. Never white wine before 7.
Pour him the red. Pour him the Pinot. And warm it up.
Warm it hot.
Make sure it's warm. Extra warm this morning. He's having a long call.
Great idea. I agree.
All right.
See you later. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Bye-bye.
Warm wine.
Honey, where's my travel mug?
Thermos. That's the mess. It's a plaid thermos.
My free FM thermos. Oh, it's a great lineup. I mean, I could not be happier. I'm drinking warm wine virtually every morning now.
It's tasty.
It is. Mm. Refreshing. My cancer. Jesus.
How else can the guy look himself in the mirror?
That's right. Just plying himself with warm wine 24/7, just so he can make it through his days.
I mean, my God, he's got to get in the car and he's got to turn that. I mean, how do you look yourself in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a result. You have to make the end result warm wine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Warm wine will make it all. You know, mm-hmm. Everything is just fine with warm wine.
Hi, it's Michael Hughes for Warm Wine. You know, a lot of people enjoy wine as a late afternoon or evening with dinner drink. I say when you're under pressure, when you're mismanaging a major market radio station and you see your career slipping through your fingers because you're running a lineup that no one in God's name would listen to, the only answer is to drink warm wine.
I'll have the Western omelet, some wheat toast. Have you any warm wine?
A lot of people look at me strangely, but they were drinking warm wine years and years before Christ was born.
But whatever you do with your eggs, don't heat it up too much.
Never boiling.
No.
Yes, I would like the Grand Slam, over easy, an English muffin, and might you have warm wine? The weird thing about warm wine is it makes your toothpaste taste funny.
I'll have Cocoa Puffs, a blueberry muffin, and a tureen of wine.
Warm.
Properly warm. That's how I make it through.
I like that wine. 99.7 degrees, please.
Never hot.
I put my pinky in it just right.
Thank you.
99.7. That might be the dial position of the next station we work at, kids. Oh, Daddy's got to put the Jay Severin show on tonight. Where's the warm wine?
I just got off the phone with El Zol. How about some Spanish warm wine?
Mmm, warm wine, and look, there's Matt Lauer on television. Delicious. Here's a toast. Oh, look, Katie Couric has the same fag glasses on that I have on.
It's a starter.
Here's a toast.
A breakfast starter.
Where in the world is my warm wine?
Okay.
Just our little thought of how he starts his day.
How are you, everybody?
Hi.
Regis, we got a break again. I'm sorry about that. Just we've had too much show today.
We've had too much warm wine.
We will come back with the tapes of Regis from the and also Dick Clark.
Yes,
I've been told that both are equally good. But even though Regis has not had a stroke, Regis is just as retarded sounding as Dick Clark.
Flo, do you sell heated Pinot Grigio? Not too hot. I can do it, Joel. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Good morning. Nothing, just waiting for your call. And regular kitchen sounds. Honey, where is the wine? The uncorker.
Just rub it between your hands. That'll warm it up enough. Body temperature wine.
Warm wine.
Yes. All day. All day out of a thermos. It's soup. Leave me alone. Close that door, please.
Collect no calls. Warm my wine.
Collect hold my calls for the next 2 hours. We're having a tasting.
Well, it's simply the greatest lineup in the history of radio, and he's the architect of it, and we can just say we're proud to be a part of of this right here. And, sure. And please, for the love of God, remember you're listening to the Don and Mike show.
Right here.
Don't forget that on Free FM, because Jesus Christ, God knows you're not going to be coming back listening to the station later tonight.
Remember our slogan.
Remember it right now and don't forget it.
Don and Mike, now more than ever. We really do need you.
Yes, bring it.
Warm wine.
Ooh.
Where's my warm wine?
That's tasty.
That's wonderful.
Bran muffin and a nice, delicious bottle of Kendall Jackson.
We'll be right back.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. Yes. That's it, boys and girls. Another issue of Best of Don and Mike. I've been your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you, and I'll see you tomorrow, but let's all go home and enjoy some football, huh? Let me get on out of here. Oh, dear. I got it. See y'all later. All right. Let's try it again. Here I go.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated, The Don and Mike Show.